Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Is it Santa yet?
Goodbye, baby.
It's gonna get cold.
Yes, I'm going.
Hey, leave that up, Joe.
Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
You never want to stop a masterpiece like this.
Yes, I'm going.
Donald Trump's calling the show in a few minutes. Rex Hupke wrote his version of The Night Before Christmas. Was The Night Before Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Trump saw it as a compliment. He wants to read it live on the air.
Oh, that's cool. Who's going to be calling?
I don't know Rex Hupke. I didn't tell Rex Hupke the president was calling. So, cool story on charity coming up later on that will warm your heart. Jordan Goodman will be on the program as well, talking about money. Dean, Pat McGann. We love Pat. That'd be great. And then somebody's bringing in champagne there, Dave.
Andrea?
That'll be fun. I'm liking some little champagne, a little mimosa.
Come on. What's the occasion?
Yeah, what are we celebrating?
Yeah,
Wednesday.
Oh,
hump day?
It's Wednesday somewhere. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody good? Everybody ready to start the show?
Good to go.
Yeah. All good?
Great.
Do it.
How'd last night go?
Good. Win for the Cats.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you just meant like his, is that what, you know?
No, I knew Dave was working.
Okay.
What do you mean you know?
Well, because, you know.
What? What?
It just was kind of cute. You said, oh, how was your night last night?
Oh, I see.
I thought you meant after the game. You know, we went home, little pajamagram. Okay.
His hoodie footy evening.
Hoodie footy, yeah. The mint chocolate one.
Let's stand at top six at six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Item number one, I don't understand this, to be honest with you. Governor Rauner has laid out how his second term will be different, but he's blamed Rahm Emanuel for his first term failures. I thought we were blaming Mike Madigan.
I thought we were, too. Which, you know, that really throws me in any sort of political ad when you hear the Rauner ads running and he's blaming Mike Madigan. So I'm wondering now if he's going to blame Emanuel.
Well, I know he and Rahm don't love each other anymore.
Yeah, but you know.
But I don't understand how it's Rahm's fault now as opposed to Madigan.
I have no idea. Kind of a dumb, if it's a strategic move.
I don't know.
I don't really think it's a good one.
It's counting on the courts to give him several transformative wins over organized labor, allowing him to bypass Mike Madigan's opposition. There we go. But I will say what I've said before. I said it yesterday to somebody. There's nothing that Rauner has asked for, no matter how clumsily he's asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he's asked for that's unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Zero. Nothing.
I agree with you as well, but my question to you is, if he wins now, what's going to be different? We still have Mike Madigan. We still have Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
So what would be the incentive for me to say, for a voter to say, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, he's the only one providing any opposition to Mike Madigan. So who else?
True.
Who else? So, you know, you could take a larger step backwards.
Right.
If you have someone who will suck up to Mike Madigan, then it'll be entirely Madigan's mm-hmm. agenda. There'll mm-hmm. be nobody fighting that fight. You know, and I don't know, somebody that's like Pritzker.
Right.
Who clearly is a Madigan
friend.
Associate. It's pleasant.
I was going to say that it was cleaning it up well.
So, next. The big tax bill will be passed by the House today. They have to do a do-over, do a revote. There is a technical thing in regards to funding for this bill, where they jammed it down America's throats without using any of the Democrats, and the procedure that has to go on wasn't completely met from a budgetary standpoint, so they have to do it over today.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pass it. The Senate passed it about 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning last night.
They will pass it. The president's supposed to sign it either Thursday or Friday, probably Friday.
What's he waiting for?
I don't know. A Christmas miracle?
Well, this is a Christmas miracle,
frankly. Well, according to him, yeah.
This is probably going to mean a few hundred extra bucks for you next year. Probably.
I was going to say maybe, yeah.
Much of it remains to be seen. And what we haven't talked about, because we do a lot of charitable stuff on this show, the impact on charities could be significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when you go with this doubling the standard deduction and you take away itemizing for a large chunk of the population, you could argue that the incentive to give was taken away. So it's not good for charity.
Well, short term, though, it might be good because a lot of people are giving right now to try.
I don't think a lot of people are giving. I think a lot of people should. I don't think a lot of people understand because all that news is breaking now. You know, you should pre-give for next year.
And maybe if it had been a month ago, it might have had a bigger impact.
Yeah, yeah. And the idea that people have that kind of cash, you know what I mean? I mean, you have money to give charitably when you have it to give for most people. Mm-hmm. It's not just extra cash sitting around and you go, I can do this anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're prepaying your property taxes.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And also, what about church folks?
Yep.
You know, if you tithe, if you give weekly, or if you give for various things throughout the year, you're going to give all that in advance?
No.
I don't know.
Probably not.
So we'll see how it affects all charities, but it's one of the things that needs to be considered. Next. Chicago Tribune investigation has found that since red light cameras were I got another ticket the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Running a red.
I hate those.
I can never tell from the pictures, and I've probably had, I don't know, 5 or 6 of these now. I can never tell from the pictures if I should fight it or not.
You shouldn't. I tried to fight one time.
Yeah.
I clearly...
I always think fighting it's a good idea, and then I think, I'm not going to do it.
But here, I got a red light camera ticket, not for blowing the red light. I didn't make a complete stop at the line, the white line, before I actually made the turn. So I could make a right turn on a red. There was no sign posted saying otherwise.
You didn't stop.
I didn't stop entirely. I should have stopped for 3 seconds, and I stopped for like 1.8, and that's on the thing. And I thought, oh, I'm going to fight this because I stopped. And I went to court, and the judge said, you're all wasting your time. And we had to watch the video again in front of the whole courtroom, and I lost it anyway.
My husband gets those occasionally. You know, you get them at the house. We get it in the mail.
Yeah.
And
$100.
I always know it's his because they're always by the United Center on Ogden. There's a park. And when you go by the park, you're supposed to reduce your speed, and he never does. And
is that the diagonal stop where it's off on an angle and you don't know where to stop?
And every time we have this process, it comes in the mail. I know what it is. And we open it up, and we're looking. And then he makes me pull it up online, and he just stares at it as if, are we sure that's my car? You know, like he's convinced that...
Somehow he's been jobbed by the system.
And he goes, and you know, by this park, you have to go down to 30... but it might be 45 around it or something. I'm not sure. And so he's going 47, and he's, you know, frustrated with the rule. And there's a whole thing we go through.
Do you ever say to him,
pay it right away.
How many of these do you have to get before you stop speeding in this particular area?
No, I know. And like, or allow 5 extra minutes when you're going to the United Center all the time.
I had a friend
you won't need to race over there.
I had a friend who tried to fight a ticket just like that. It was a school zone. I think it was Addison and Western, because by lane tech, you have to minimize your speed. But it was like midnight. And it says, you know, when school children are present. And then the judge said, well, you still shouldn't be speeding.
Yeah. He says, and then he's like, don't pay it right away. And then I always pay it right away because what am I waiting for? We owe it. I mean, you did it.
But I have let it lapse a couple times. It's like a game show. It goes 100, 250, 500, 1,000.
It goes up dramatically.
Yeah.
But it makes him so angry. And I'm always so boasting inside that it wasn't me. And, you know, it's the whole thing.
We remember early on this show. When you went around traffic.
Oh, yeah.
At a light because you had to pee.
Yeah, well, it was a stop sign. And yes, I did. I went into the oncoming. Nobody was coming, but I moved. Yeah. Somebody was really going to stay there. And it was a red light. You're right, because they were waiting, and I didn't want to wait.
Uh-huh. Bodily functions should be an exemption.
It was on rush.
Well, how are you going to prove that you could?
I pulled into the oncoming traffic, and then I made a left turn, and I had nothing to say. I completely did the wrong thing.
Listen, we're all lucky to be alive.
I don't take that street anymore, just so I'm not tempted to make that move again.
Because the McDonald's is gone.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, I don't think there's any place near the United Center where the speed limit's 45. Except the Eisenhower, it's a little higher.
That's a good point. Yeah, there shouldn't be. That's a very good point.
Maybe, then, I don't know.
I didn't know your husband was a Leadfoot.
A little bit of
Pat Brady Leadfoot?
Yeah.
Pat Brady. I just said you're married to Pat Brady.
I, you know, it's funny that you say that.
And you just backed off like a whistle.
I know. And I thought, did I just hear Pat Brady? Because my husband's Pat Boyle, and Pat Brady and Pat Boyle are both in my phones. And there's been times where Pat Brady gets my message for Pat Boyle and vice versa. Because you see Pat B, you think it's a safe...
I wonder if Pat Brady's gotten any messages that he saved.
Oh, no, I think that one time he got a, I'm only going to pack one suitcase for a trip. That's, I think he got that. Was as racy as it gets.
Where am I taking her?
That's like, Steve, I do that to you all the time because my husband's Steve, too, and your numbers are both in my phone, and and I've sent you pictures of the baby and all kinds of things. It's like, oops.
By the way, the baby be the grandbaby.
Yeah, the grandbaby. Yeah, not mine.
No, that testing came back negative, I know. Where am I? Oh, Cardinal Bernard Law. This is the guy that blew up the Catholic Church in Boston with his protecting of pedophiles. He died late last night in Rome, where he's been living for years and years and years. He was forced out. He resigned as Archbishop of Boston in 2002. And what was the Michael Keaton movie that won all the Oscars?
Spotlight.
Spotlight. Tremendous movie.
Oh, fantastic movie.
And Cardinal Bernard Law looked the other way for many, many years. And pedophile priests harmed children for years and years and years. And he did nothing.
I thought after that movie, he was done with the church. He was retired. He was, you know, he left in shame.
It was time that he retired. Yeah. I mean, he went to, he wasn't charged with any criminal stuff. And so that's why the Vatican had to figure out what to do with him.
Yeah, and he was serving as like an archpriest or something. Just
kind
of like a...
Committees.
Committees,
yeah. He's on some committees. Next. The Harvey Weinstein scandal unleashed a global movement on shutting down harassment in entertainment, media, and government. Meanwhile, blue collar workers, the plight of blue collar, you know, women, women waitresses, hourly wage women doing jobs, being harassed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about it. The New York Times spoke with female employees at two Ford plants in Chicago, where harassment persisted decades after the company swore they were tackling sexual misconduct. Tanya Exum, an Army vet who reported being groped, recalled a union rep saying, "It's not sexual harassment. He only did it once."
Can you, I almost fell over when I read that quote.
A nice scorecard. And finally this. Let's go to the lightning round. Let's supersize the top six at six, item number six. Mindy Kaling had a daughter. Bill Belichick took away Tom Brady's hack doctor sideline privileges.
Trainer.
Health
is he
guru.
Even a medical doctor?
I think he's more like a trainer.
Well, he had a license. It was taken away. I don't know if he ever got it back.
I'm not sure.
Third straight year, no Bears are going to the Pro Bowl?
Well, none were chosen to the roster. They can still be added.
Yeah, well, okay. And I could regrow hair.
Would Steve Cochran's name be on that Pro Bowl
list?
I'll
probably get an alternate in there.
Eminem is on Tinder and Grindr trying to find dates. Isn't Grindr the gay site?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't go on those social network or those dating sites.
Maybe I'm wrong. Rolling Stone says Chris Stapleton, the most played artist on jukeboxes this year. Well, he ought to be. He's got a phenomenal voice. Love Chris Stapleton.
Can I go back to your Eminem one? Can you imagine if you know you were on Tinder or Grindr or whatever,
hook up with Eminem.
and you're like swiping left, all of a sudden, Eminem pops up.
Would you ever have a blind date with Eminem?
No. It's not my type.
Wouldn't work out that way?
No. Would you?
No. Actually, I wouldn't.
It might be interesting to talk to him.
He only speaks in rhyme.
To find out, all of his
angst. The
entire
dinner conversation is also in rhyme.
All of his angst.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Where essentially I'm the president.
On Chicago's very own.
I love Chicago. I know Chicago.
720 WGN.
So this tax thing, it is it's an absolute political win for Donald Trump. You can't deny that. It in fact is. After a year of stumbling and bumbling, this will be a political win. Now, doesn't mean it's going to last. Doesn't mean it's going to work out. If it works out for people, the Republicans have a chance to hold on to the House and Senate. If it doesn't work out, and this tax bill turns out to be a huge problem, including the whole health insurance piece, because remember, it takes away the mandate for Obamacare.
Right.
So that throws all that up in the air. then the House and the Senate, in all likelihood, would both go Democrat next fall. That's not necessarily the answer, kids. Everybody going, oh, we want the Democrats to be in charge. Okay, and do what?
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody in Washington with courage, please raise your hand now. I'd like to see it.
I would, too. And I want to know specifics about the tax bill, too. I mean, this the downside is people keep saying, okay, we're not going to see, you know, the middle class is not going to see a refund. Remember with George W. Bush, we all got a couple hundred dollars back. We're not going to see it in that form as a check coming into your mailbox.
Your withholding would change.
Your withholding would change,
exactly.
So you'd
be a little more in your paycheck.
Yeah. But we'll see how much.
Could happen in February. There's been several discussions about when it actually kicks in. There's different pieces of this kick in at different times. Could be good, could not be good. I don't know. But President Trump is standing by on the phone right now.
Oh.
And this is kind of a different nature, but let me go to the phone and pick this up right now. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Cochran. Merry Christmas.
And to you. Less than a week to go before Christmas. How are things?
Tremendous. You know, we're really getting in the Christmas mood here at the White House. After Melania went to bed in her separate chamber that locks from the inside last night, the Baron and I had a nice hot cup of cafefe and watched my favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Oh, well, sure. Miracle on 34th Street.
No.
It's a Wonderful Life.
No, Die Hard. Yeah, nothing captures the spirit of the season like Hans Gruber falling to his death off the Nakatomi Plaza building.
Yes.
Tremendous.
It does warm the heart. Yes. How about the shopping? The Christmas shopping? Do you do any of that? All done?
All done. I bought American this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I only bought gifts from the advertisers of Fox News. So all my staff's either getting a reverse mortgage, dental implants, or a My Pillow.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, I was talking to Sandberg, the producer, and said you had called about the Rex Huckabee thing in the Chicago Tribune. Is that what we were talking about today?
Right. Yeah, here's the deal. Vice President Pence said I should read this article from the fake Chicago News. And I said, Mike, I don't read my daily intelligence briefing. Why would I read the Loser Fake News Tribune? He said, no, really, I think you're going to like this. He brought me another Diet Coke without being asked. So
okay,
let's look at it. It's a famous Christmas poem, I guess.
And
I'd like to read it for you, if you mind. Can I do that?
Yeah, you can. And I think this would be a nice treat. This is the president reading a Christmas classic to everyone. So wherever you are, pull over to the side of the road, sit down in your kitchen, gather the kids around, whenever you're ready, Mr. President.
I think you'll recognize it. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and in the White House. You see what I did there? Mm-hmm. I said White House, mm-hmm. because I'm the president. Very clever, believe me.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse, which is good, because mice are filthy creatures. Filthy, like Democrats, you know, Chuck and Nancy.
Yes.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. I bet that's how people at my rallies feel before I show up. They get so excited. I mean, they love me. Can someone get me another Diet Coke?
I'm on it, sir.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and let me tell you, Mama's looking quite nice. Am I right? I bet you take that kerchief off. They all do.
Oh,
you know, when you're a star or the president, you can do whatever you want. Grab them by the sugar plums, whatever.
I don't think so.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, here we go. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter,
mm-hmm.
I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter.
Mm-hmm.
So threw up the sash, blah, blah, yada, yada, something, something. Here we go. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer,
yeah.
with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles. Let's see, I like those. Very patriotic eagles. Make America great again with Trump. Then he names all the reindeer. Dancer, Flasher, Vixen, Ivanka, Wolf Blitzer, whatever. Then a bunch of words, dry heaves, hurricanes. You know, no president has dealt with hurricanes better than I have, believe me.
Yeah.
We fixed everything in record time, even Puerto Rico. They love the paper towel toss. Very presidential. Okay, let's move this along. The very dishonest media is going to be mad. They lie so much. You know what I call them? Fake news.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that.
Yeah.
Nobody ever used the word fake before I did. I came up with that completely on my own because I'm very smart.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here we go. Down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound. His clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. like a coal miner. We love our coal miners, Steve. We're bringing their jobs back quickly, believe me. Clean coal jobs. They'll be cleaning so much of that coal.
They don't actually...
Okay. Then the bad guy winks, he does his work, puts stuff in the stockings, probably stuff from China, that president, she loves Trump. Bing, bing, bong. Okay, Ben should have read this. I mean, this is ridiculous. I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, Happy Christmas to all and to all... Wait, what? Happy Christmas. Are you kidding? It's Merry Christmas. M-E-R-R-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm president, everyone can say Merry Christmas again. Not like when Obama was president. Nobody could say it because, you know, he was from Kenya.
No, he was. He really was.
Have a Merry Christmas, kids. Remember who the real Santa is. It's President Donald Trump. In fact, many are saying I'm far better than Santa Claus.
Don't believe me.
Lots of people are.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the phone call.
You have a happy holiday.
Yes, and you as well, as far as you know. That's a president. You know, it's interesting because I'm fairly critical of the president, and yet he calls.
And he was having cafefe with his son.
A big cup of cafefe.
It's kind of nice.
It's a nice holiday picture. It's also interesting that he thought the hupke thing was a compliment. I know. And who knew Melania had a locking chamber?
From the inside.
Yeah, from the inside. A lot of interesting information there.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Andre just asked me, what's the show called?
It's called Godless on Netflix.
I don't know.
It's one of those a temporary season. You know, it's like a season one. They're going to see how it goes and then maybe renew it. It's really
cool. Fill-in show like it used to be on the networks?
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. A limited series. That's what it's called, limited series.
Is that your favorite thing that's on now?
I just finished it night before last. I loved it. And it's a Western theme, and I'm not big on Westerns. I really liked it. The acting was great.
It's amazing how bad network TV is now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the regular network TV that we all grew up with, including Fox. Is there anything that people watch, that you guys watch regularly?
And everything's out of break now, too. You know, they do the fall break, then the winter break. What's there to watch?
Season finale for Survivor tonight.
Are you still watching Survivor?
I am. I don't even know what season. I think I've been watching it for almost
You got Spike on that back in the day, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's still really good, and tonight is the finale.
And we got to talk to you about your definition of really good.
Wow.
I didn't know that was still on there.
It's interesting. The characters and the game, and they change it up a bit all the time. So, yeah, it's still on.
I'm trying to think of what I watch. I don't know that I watch any primetime TV.
Do you guys watch The Mick? Now, that's funny.
The Mick is a funny show.
The Mick is a very funny show.
But that's cable.
I would highly
recommend. Right? Isn't that FX?
No. No.
What's it on?
I don't remember. I don't even know. But it's on. No, it's
not on Fox.
I think it is on Fox.
Is it?
Yeah. It's on a regular channel.
I never watch it, but I've seen
it's
the promos.
It's very funny.
I kind of got into Empire, and I love Will and Grace is funnier than
Grace
it was the last time.
But I always forget it's on.
I DVR it.
So and Modern Family jumped the shark.
Oh, Modern
Family.
It's not
funny anymore, though.
I try to watch Modern Family every week. I'm like,
I never laugh when I watch it anymore.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
The kids are older.
That's the thing. The kids have to go away. They need to write an episode where the kids are put in jail for some reason.
They need to move out of the house.
You know what else is funny? The little boy, Joe. He's hysterical, that kid.
Mm. Oh, he is cute.
Let's
get him all off the
kid.
Show.
He's cute.
Done with the kids?
All the kids. Send them to camp forever.
All-age camp?
Yeah. Ty Burrell is still funny.
See, I don't know. He bugs me.
He bugs me, too.
Yeah, I think he's funny.
He's like the dorky dad.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know. He bugs me.
I don't know. The reason I pause here is because I can't think of anything on primetime TV where I go, well, I can't miss that.
No, I know.
Regular primetime TV. This is why the millennials have taken over.
It's
all this on-demand stuff.
Which I used to love is terrible now.
I still love Modern Family. And
did you watch the early seasons?
Yeah. I think it's still funny. I think it's clever and fast. And particularly Ty Burrell, who is Phil Dunphy. He's very similar to my husband. So a lot of the kids' Christmas gifts are to Catherine or to Patrick. Love Phil because they call him Phil.
He even looks a little like him.
Yeah,
he does kind of
like
now.
They're super dorky. They're very similar. They're tall. Their hair flops over. It's the same.
Your husband's dorky?
My husband is the most dorky you ever
I don't
meet.
Think he is either.
My husband?
Yeah. Oh, Phil, I think, is.
My husband's a dork.
No, I can't argue with you. I think Pat's a dork.
Yeah, he would say he's a dork. I mean, he's a... He's a dork.
A sports dork.
Yeah, he's just an everything dork, actually.
Sounds like a doll you'd buy for Christmas for a little guy.
Yeah.
The sports dork.
Sports dork.
If anybody can think of a show we ought to be watching that we're not, you know, text it. 312-981-7200.
Homeland's coming back, I think, in like 2 weeks. It was the first week of January. That's still awesome.
But you're talking on the major network.
Yeah.
Though, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of stunned at
There's
how bad.
Stuff on cable.
I'm stunned at how bad the network television stuff is.
Yeah. So my wife likes The Voice. She's always watching that. And last night was the finale.
You know what? Can I tell you something? You know what I don't like about The Voice? Sounds ridiculous. It's too positive.
It is. There's never an nobody's ever going to be bad.
Every single and they're all great. They're all great.
They're good.
But every comment is, "You've changed the world.
Yeah.
You're the greatest thing I've ever heard." Yeah, it's so emotional watching you sing. They're telling a 16-year-old girl she's Aretha Franklin. Settle down.
Yeah. Who? So wait, it's Blake, Adam,
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And
Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
Yeah. So last night,
sorry for the review, for the recap.
I get home from the basketball game just in time for the big finish. They're going to announce the winner, right? But it's a live show, so they have the big build up, and then they take a break right before the announcement. They're down to two, and they we'll be back with the big announcement. They make the announcement, and then they immediately roll the credits. That's it. They go.
They
a whole
build up
season.
For 2 hours.
You never get the reaction of the winner. It's like
who won?
I can't remember her name. There were two women. One of them won.
Oh, one of the women.
My wife thought the other one should have won.
Okay.
I haven't really watched it.
But the kid didn't win, did she?
The Aretha Franklin.
I don't think she was a kid.
Oh, there was a 16-year-old kid on the show.
I think she was older.
They said you're the next Aretha Franklin.
Yeah. Well, they didn't say that. I'm just saying they were treating her like.
Yeah.
Texters say this is us.
See, I stopped watching that.
Chicago PD, Brooklyn 99.
How to Get Away with Murder.
That I stopped watching too. I like it, but I stopped watching it.
I still watch it.
Yeah, This Is Us. We get a lot of This Is Us. The Blacklist.
Can I ask? Oh, I like The Blacklist. Can I ask a question about This Is Us? Because I know you guys watch it. Can you just objectively say it has gotten so depressing? You know, I don't want to fall into this. I want to watch other things and be happy. It's like one big pile of depression every week with
that
show.
That is true. There's rarely something to be happy about.
It's a nighttime soap opera.
Oh, my God.
The Mick is on Fox and FX. That's why I was confused. You know, they have another pretty face.
Okay.
Designated Survivor. That's the Kiefer Sutherland thing.
Oh, I watched that, too.
Yeah. Lethal Weapon. There's one other one in here. Oh, and 708, Dorks Unite. Okay.
Is that a show?
That's on Fox.
I just think Pat texted.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There is a Tribune piece. Actually, it's in today's Tribune that lays out how individual taxpayers can exploit the new tax bill. We were talking about it casually. Here's some of the details. Give to charity. A typical piece of the end of the year advice. Increase your potential deductions before January 1st on this year's income. But you can pre-give to charity so you make sure you maximize your charitable deductions that you may not be able to take next year.
Our church actually sent out a flyer saying that you know, you have your church dues and you can make donations to the Christmas fund and whatnot. You can start doing that now for 2018.
I think a lot of charities are hoping people kick in now because they're not sure how the tax bill is going to change giving next year because of the standard deduction replacing itemizing and therefore limiting the incentive, the impetus for people to give charitably. If your tax rate is falling in 2018, your deductions are more valuable if claimed against this year's income. So give any charitable income you can before New Year's Eve. This is one I hadn't thought of. Defer some income. Now, if you're a salaried employee, generally speaking, you can't do this. But a traditional recommendation right now is to defer some income. And investors can control their taxable income and lower capital gains tax bills. Basically, you sell loser stocks now and you sell winner stocks next year. So you get rid of loser stocks now so you can take them as losses on this year's taxes. If you expect your tax rate to fall next year and you can somehow defer income into 2018, it could actually save you some money. We've talked about this. Pay your taxes if you can. We're in a high-tax state, and the state and property tax max would be $10,000. So since you're not going to be able to deduct that next year, you know, take a look at this year's tax return. Take a look at whatever you pay in your property taxes and whatever you pay in state taxes, and you know, prepay it. Because keep in mind what you fill out in April is 2017. You always have to look backwards.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be under the new tax law. So everything we're talking about now would be the tax return you're going to prepare, you know, in January, February, March, and April.
Yeah, if you have it, pay it.
Yeah.
Question
because, Dave,
you
and I were talking about this off the air. I was only talking about property taxes. I forgot state taxes are rolled into this as well.
Yes, yeah.
So if you can prepay it, so I think it does make sense. Yeah. Especially if you know you're going to be hit by the AMT anyway, the alternative minimum tax. And that's always a lockdown for me, which is a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I want to know about estate planning, too, because supposedly you're not going to have to pay estate taxes after someone dies on their property and whatnot, or that's going
away. You're talking
about
the death tax?
Yeah.
Well, the
that's
death tax,
be going...
that was a lot of hype. The death tax is $5 million or more on a family farm.
That's right.
Without
yes.
exceptions, or estates that are worth a lot more than, certainly than I have. So it doesn't affect the majority of Americans by far.
Dave Summer Homes and, you know, his window.
Oh, it'll affect Dave.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah. Daddy Warbucks over there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Oh, Summer Home.
Sorry.
Okay, it's big, but
Sorry.
It's a summer home.
Current tax law allows employees to deduct unreimbursed expenses related to their jobs. For instance, Dave travels.
Yes.
And as he travels, he runs up a huge expense account on booze and women.
Don't even joke about that
and
stuff.
And cigars.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Dave, I'm just using
No, he's giving
you
a hypothetical.
Dave, I'm not saying it's true. I'm just using you as an example.
So, okay, so he runs up the tab. This will be good.
This is a good exercise for the listeners, Dave. So you run up this huge expense account, and you go, how can I deduct hookers? You know, and you go, well, listen, I'm not sure how to do this. And then you have to fill out the paperwork properly.
Yeah.
I can't remember the form number, Dave. Do you remember what the form number is? It's just a joke, people. Workers should think whether they can pay and get the receipts, as many of the expenses as possible, to get in before New Year's Eve. You're going to be better off with it if you can do it now. Take care of your expenses.
Well, how will that be? I mean, I know getting it done. Oh, because you get the money back sooner?
No, you would get more of a tax benefit if you get it done.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Self-employed people and business owners would still be able to... This is going forward.
Right.
In the new
2018,
deal.
Yeah.
Self-employed people and business owners will still be able to deduct expenses under the new tax bill. But if you're working for somebody, like Dave...
Right.
And you have to do unreimbursed expenses, that's when you could get whacked.
Got it.
And then pay for your move. You're no longer allowed to deduct work-related moving expenses. How about that?
Oh, we should move now.
Well, we don't have to pay for the station's bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Boy, that would suck, wouldn't it?
That
we had to pay for the move?
We're trying to save Larry some money.
Well, I'm sure Larry would appreciate that.
Put everything in our backpacks and just walk across the river.
But if you can prepay, if you know you're moving next year, and you know, far too many people are leaving Illinois, prepay for your move. I don't know how you would do it, but I'm saying there's a tax benefit to it.
Personal move, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Could you deduct a personal move?
I don't know, unless work pays for some of those moving expenses, if it's work-related.
It's over. You'll no longer be able to allow to deduct work-related moving expenses after the new year unless you're in the military. But you could join the military.
Oh, you could sign up. Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, good luck with that. Are we going to the news? Yes, news time right now? Okay. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. And that story, by the way, is in the Chicago Tribune this morning with greater detail. But those are the basic points. And let me give Ben Steverman credit. He's the one who wrote it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
This is a time of year where you hear a lot about real-life heroes. Going to introduce you to a couple of them in just a second. People are jumping all over this television question. You know, is there anything worth watching on regular TV? I forgot about this. It's a funny show. Life in Pieces with James Brolin.
Oh, yeah.
That's at 3 10-minute mini shows and every 30 minutes of funny.
Do you like Kevin Can Wait?
Or is it 4? I think there's 4. Is there 4? There might be 4. Kevin Can Wait? No. It's not funny.
I liked when Leah Remini came back because I think that I do like their chemistry together, but I don't know if it's working right now.
Yeah. The same thing with the Matt LeBlanc thing that follows it.
Yeah.
You know, with Kevin Nealon. Somebody's saying The Middle was the best show on TV. I literally never saw an episode. NCIS, which has been on for 114 years now. Joe, you still like NCIS? Joe, you're nodding your head. You're an NCIS guy?
No, I just know that it has been on for 114 years. Okay. Looking forward to 115.
Do you ever watch any regular TV, Joe?
No, just sports.
Joe's in for Jake. You just watch sports?
Yeah, no regularly scheduled
Could
programming.
Explain why you're single.
Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This Is Us, a lot of positives for This Is Us, The Good Doctor. The doctor kid that's autistic, right?
I love that show. Forgot about that one.
That's not Marcia Gay Harden, is it?
No. It's super
good. She's in a different doctor movie.
Yeah, it is really good. I mean, the kid, he's going to get an award, I'm sure. He's going to get an Emmy this year.
And you see, he's Brit or an Aussie or something?
I don't know, is he?
He's not from here. Trump's trying to kick him out. Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah, I still like Big Bang.
Young Sheldon.
I've never seen that.
That is supposed to be hilarious.
Madam Secretary.
Oh, that is good. I like Madam Secretary.
The Punisher.
See? They should renew The Good Wife. That's all I'm saying.
And Chloe Kohansky won The Voice, 23-year-old. Said sick all the time. Mm. It's sick, dude. It's totally sick.
They can't bring back The Good Wife because they have The Good Doctor now.
Right.
Actually, The Good Fight is on CBS
too.
Streaming.
You have The Good Nurse.
The Good Everything, right?
How about The Good Cafeteria Workers? This is an amazing story. Hospital cafeteria worker from Advocate Children's Hospital getting together an effort to donate thousands of dollars worth of toys. Thousands of dollars worth of toys. For the kids of Puerto Rico. Let me go first to a woman who is fine with me calling her Miss Jessie. I can call you Miss Jessie, can't I?
Yes.
How are you, Jessie Tenditi?
No, Tendai.
Ah! I was so close, Jessie. Miss Jessie, she's worked in the cafeteria at Advocate Trinity Hospital on the South Side since 2002. What do you do there in the cafeteria?
Oh, I serve food.
Yeah, all right. Well, first off, that's... you know, it's great to meet you, period, but I just love your story. Hold on. Let me get your friend Melissa on here as well. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Melissa Cavanaugh is manager of Child Life Services at Advocate Children's Hospital. What does that job mean? What does it mean to be that manager?
Well, currently I am the manager of the Child Life Department, so that oversees both campuses of Advocate Children's Hospital. We have a campus in Oak Lawn, and we have a campus in Park Ridge. Excuse me. In our department, we have child life specialists. We have certified teachers who help children to bridge the gap between hospitalization and their schools. We also have board-certified music therapists and art therapists.
It's important stuff.
And all four of our departments work together to really help children and families cope with diagnosis and with hospitalization and with really everything that goes along with it, from the point where they get diagnosed, whether it's something that's chronic or it's something that's kind of acute, kind of short-term. It doesn't really matter. It can still really upset a family
right.
and their home life and everything that's going on.
Yeah, to take care of the child. Yeah, the full package of taking care of the child and the family and the extended family.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, all right. Now, Miss Jessie, you are an amazing woman. Miss Jessie,
thank you.
Let me tell you about this. Miss Jessie saves money from her paycheck from the cafeteria to buy kids for or toys for kids every year. And you've been doing this for how long?
From 2009 to present.
Yeah, and what sort of money do you set aside on an annual basis?
I can't say what in the amount, but I just. Put, I think, enough that I would be able to buy the toys end of the year.
I've heard that it's as much as $5,000.
Yes, I put $5,000. It comes to $5,000, but my deductible is quite huge for every paycheck. So it total will be $5,000. That's correct, yes.
Yes, $5,000 of your own money. Toys R Us heard about this story. They kicked in another $5,000 gift card to get more toys, which means we got $10,000 worth of toys. And you want to remember the kids in Puerto Rico who are going to have a rough Christmas, right?
Yes, definitely yes.
All right, so what's the plan? Are all these toys going there? Because I know you also do toys locally as well.
Yeah, the toys locally, we did that yesterday. So we still have the toys for Puerto Rico, of which we are working with our partners to find a way how to get those toys to the children in Puerto Rico.
So, Melissa, what do we know? Is there anybody in logistics, any of the airlines, anybody volunteered to step up in this?
You know, that's not something that I have information on right now, but I do know that there are a lot of people looking into it.
All right, so we want to get the word out to everybody. You know, if you happen to be a big shot headed for your logistics job this morning, you know, maybe you've already done something kind for the people of Puerto Rico. What's the effort here is to take the kindness that's already gone at Advocate and the amazing efforts of Miss Jessie and pay it forward so we can get these toys to Puerto Rico for these kids. It's really, it's an amazing thing you've done here, Miss Jessie.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's special for the children. So that would be nice, you know, if people could step up and help to get those toys to the children before Christmas. And so that can bring joy to those kids and what they're going through, you know. So at least they have a toy to play with, and they have a time whereby they forget what is going through with them. So I really appreciate if some people could come out, yes.
This is such a wonderful, it's just such a wonderful effort on behalf of you, Miss Jessie. Melissa, I guess if people are hearing this, people are always wanting to help and step up. Can people either donate toys or money to next year's fund? How would people get involved? Because they're going to hear this story and want to help.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, people can donate to Advocate Children's Hospital at any time of the year. I know a lot of people think about donations around Christmas time, but we really could use them all year long, and whether it's an in-kind gift, you know, or a monetary gift. And there are two different places that people can go to. AdvocateChildrensHospital.com. It's our website. You can go there to find doctors, get health education information, things like that. But there's also a button to make a donation. And the other website that people can go to is advocategiving.org. So it's advocatechildrenshospital.com or advocategiving.org. And really, I have to say, you know, I've worked with Jessie for the last eight years now, and she's a remarkable, humble, incredibly sweet human being. And I watched firsthand yesterday the impact that she had on these families. You know, being in the hospital is tough on families, like I said, but especially during the holidays. And we had a whole bunch of children come into this general room that was really just set up like a toy store. And the kids came in and they got to pick out whatever they wanted. And then after the kids were done doing that, we went around and we actually found some parents who have been stuck in the hospital and they haven't had a chance to go out shopping. And so we invited them to come down. And so they got to pick out some nice gifts.
Wow.
It was really amazing. I mean, the amount of hugging, there were some tears shed, lots and lots of smiles. It was really fantastic. This time of year makes me so happy. And it's because of donors like Jessie that they really just have this selfless act, and they want to give back to the world. They want to give back to children, and she's fantastic.
Miss Jessie, you're a special lady, and I know you're not getting rich there in the cafeteria, so the fact that you're kicking all this money in from your own paycheck is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and by the way, this picture of you surrounded by toys, is that at your house or is that in an office? Where is this picture?
That's my house. It's my first floor. Actually, I used to rent it out. So when I started the toys, I decided to use it only just for the toys so that I have enough space for these toys.
I couldn't even find you in the picture. It's all toys. It's your teeny little head in the back.
Yeah, Santa Claus there, Miss Jessie behind the crates. It's unbelievable. And we're already getting texts from people that want to help. So, Melissa, give us those websites again.
AdvocateChildrensHospital.com, or they can go to advocategiving.org.
All right, and again, what would really help is, and I know there's some people that have stepped up in this regard, and maybe the job's already done, but we don't know that until we know. So if there's anybody listening that's either connected to or involved in logistics who could help get these toys to Puerto Rico, what's the best thing to do? Jessie, who would they contact at Advocate?
At my job.
Or Melissa? I mean, do they call your office? I mean, who do they call?
Yeah, they can contact us, too.
Yeah. All right. So what number should they call?
So they can either contact through the Children's Hospital website. There is an email through donations that they can just put something on. But otherwise, they can give me a call. You can basically just give me a call at 708-684-4105.
And we will post that as well for people who are driving and can't make a note of it now. So proud of both of you. And Miss Jesse, you're amazing. Keep up the good work, and God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, and thank you, Melissa. Hold on. So there you go. That's one of the world's special people right there.
Taking money out of your own paycheck, and you're not making, $4 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
To save up to buy kids. I mean, and this picture's awesome of her surrounded by all the toys.
It's amazing, right? $5,000 of her own money.
Yeah.
She's working at the cafeteria at the hospital.
Right.
Right?
And delivering them herself, too, now.
Yeah, we gotta get United or FedEx or somebody.
UPS, someone, yeah, absolutely.
Guy in a boat, whatever. Mm-hmm. Dave, why can't you get these toys there?
I would. I'd be glad to.
I'll help you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I see.
Jordan Goodman from MoneyAnswers.com joins us. Good morning, Jordan. Oops, how about this one? Joe? Good morning, Jordan. There you are.
I'm still here. Happy holidays to you, Steve, and Dave and Andrea, Joe, and all the WGN listeners.
And Sandberg. Don't forget about Sandberg, or you'll be in trouble.
Sandberg, too.
And don't forget about Mary Vandeveld.
Absolutely, Mary.
And don't forget about Domity. He's filling in. Don't forget about Domity.
Okay, Domity. Everybody. You time these things beautifully, Steve. On the day that we pass tax reform, your timing is always incredible.
MoneyAnswers.com. Go to the website. All right, so let's talk about this bill, this tax bill. Look, there's no question some people are going to benefit, but let's not kid ourselves. There's some people are going to get hurt as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of people in Illinois, particularly because you've got high state income taxes. And I hear you have a bit of property tax there as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit, yes. So anything over $10,000 in property taxes and state income taxes combined will no longer be deductible. That's something people have been counting on there for a long time. And therefore, they're going to end up paying more in taxes. And the bigger your house and the more in property taxes and the more in income taxes you pay, the bigger your tax bill is going to be because you're going to be losing that deduction. And this is true in California and New York and all the high tax states as well. It's kind of the revenge against the blue states, I guess you might say.
So do we pay in advance? Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. So the thing you can do between now and the end of the year is to get any deductions that you would pay normally in 2018, pay them in 2017. Property taxes, income taxes, charitable contributions, medical expenses, student loans, you name it. Because those may not be deductible at all. And a lot of people aren't going to get deductions of any kind because their standard deduction is going to double from $12,000 to $24,000.
And if you know you're going to get whacked by the AMT, does that factor into your prepay decision or not?
It's possible. I mean, some people would be affected by that. But basically the idea is to get your deductions in this year because you may not get them next year. And then if you can possibly get income delayed. Now, I hear you're going to get $1 million bonus, Steve. So tell them to
yes.
pay January 2nd.
Yes.
Instead of
yes.
December 31st.
Yeah, they want to work with me. so the question that came up from some of the texters is, can you prepay state income tax?
Yes, you can. And you do an estimated payment. Normally, you do it January 15th. Do it December 30th or something. So absolutely, you can prepay state income taxes.
So basically, just take a look at last year's tax return. You know that about how much you got whacked for state taxes. Obviously, you haven't finished your 2017 yet. Your 2016, I'm talking about. And then you know what your property taxes are. And if you can, right. pay them now. By the way, how do I pay my property taxes in advance? Do I just call Rauner and give it to him? What do I do?
Well, property taxes are local. So, go to your local town hall and say,
why can't Rauner drop it off? He knows everybody.
Didn't you go to the Cook County Assessor's Office? There you go.
I don't have that kind of time. It's Christmas.
Well, it'll be wrong, and then you'll have to worry about 2019 and then 2020.
Dave, did you do this yet?
I am in the process. But
all right, so what do you do?
I live in Lake County, and all the information's on the website, the Lake County website, and you have to have it. It has to be received, I think, by the 29th, is what they say
what?
On the website. And it has to
what
be
kind of scam is that?
If it's in by New Year's Eve, it's 2017.
I don't know. It said something about the 29th on the website.
That's of course it did. It's Illinois.
Or maybe it said the 31st.
So this is going to make major changes in people's behavior. It really is. And so that's one thing, moving around the deductions. One of the big things, you know, these so-called pass-through entities, meaning subchapter S and LLC, they're going to get a lower tax rate, typically like 20% or something like that, compared to the top rate will be 37%. So everybody's going to want to become Steve Cochran LLC now, yeah. Right? So this is going to be the big game of 2018 is how can I make myself into a business to qualify for a lower tax rate. That's the mother of all loopholes, I guess you might say.
Yeah, and is there any downside to going through this if you have any business expenses at all?
No, I mean, there's only upside to it. You're going to get a lower tax rate, and you get to deduct things that in the past you might not have been able to deduct.
And obviously you can do that anytime, you know, or leading up to the 15th.
I mean, you want to do it at the beginning of the year and set it up right. I mean, you have to get a taxpayer ID, but it's pretty simple to do. But this is what accountants are going to be. This is the accountant's lifetime prosperity bill of, you know, 2017 mm-hmm. here. Because trying to figure all these things out is going to be a huge thing. So those are two of the big areas, I think. I mean, as far as corporations, they are absolutely dancing in the streets right now. The corporate rate is going to go down from 35% to 21%. They're going to have huge extra profits. That's why the stock market's been soaring. It's up again this morning in anticipation of those higher profits. So basically, Steve, the question is, what are they going to do with it? Because we know these companies are going to have extra profits, which is on top of already record profits. There's three things they can do with it. They can put it back into their company and new plants and equipment, hire people, raise wages, do all kinds of wonderful things. They can buy back stock, and they can raise dividends and executive compensation. Now, some companies are going to do some of the others, but I think the most of it is going to go to buying back stock and raising dividends if they can't find a place that's profitable to invest in. I mean, companies are very cautious.
Well, we're kind of at near full employment here.
Well, that's right.
So the idea that we're going to create a whole a bunch of new jobs out of this means you would have to have companies that go, I'm going to expand in this area and that area.
We don't have the people, actually.
Right.
I mean, literally, we're restricting immigration. And in many cases, the Labor Department puts out a report every month called the JOLTS report, which is the Job Opening Long-Term Survey. And the latest report said that there are 6 million job openings that companies can't find the people to fill the criteria for. 6 million, all-time record high. So now we're kind of adding fuel to the fire, which is great. I'm glad we're growing more, but we don't have the people to do it. We talk about infrastructure, wonderful, but where are all these construction workers going to come from? We don't have enough of them right now.
Right. So the idea that this is going to trickle down seems to be a very large stretch, and the reason the pass-through thing was treated with such cynicism is because real estate types like Jared Kushner and Donald Trump will absolutely benefit from this.
Benefit. In fact, there was one put in just recently, a real estate tax break that's going to save real estate people $400 billion over the next 10 years. So Trump had talked about, oh, this is going to cost me a lot. No, this is going to save him a huge amount of money, and his people, you know, the real estate types are going to be very, very happy with this.
Yeah, what a shock that he was dishonest. and Jared Kushner with his 666 building in New York,
yes.
The irony of it being 666, that could break his family's back financially, the Kushner family fortune. Does this pass-through exception make enough difference?
It'll help him a lot. Yeah. They bought that building for $1.5 billion. Way, way overpaid for it. They've been trying to sell it to the Chinese or anybody else and haven't been able to take any offers. They're going to get huge tax breaks from this.
They had it on Craigslist for a while.
There you go. That would be a good way to sell it.
So, but is this, I guess there's no way to tell, but this tax move is possibly enough to save them?
It's possible. It's going to save them tax. I mean, they need tenants. A lot of people have been moving out of that building, so it's half empty right now. But they're just trying to sell it to anybody they can. It was one of the worst real estate moves ever in New York history, the Kushner move on 666. Yeah.
We'll come back with Jordan Goodman, talk about some personal finance things. And, of course, look, we all recognize that the 25,000 number in the Dow, while spectacular, is not something that benefits most of Americans in a big way. Your 401k will look great, and there are ways you're in the market you might not even realize. But stock investors, institutional investors, and companies who are, companies that have to hit certain numbers on Wall Street, well, this is great news for them. Because, you know, 6 months ago or 3 months ago when they were doing projections, they weren't thinking 25,000. And at some point, is this Bitcoin, Jordan? That's another question I'm going to ask you. At some point, is this Bitcoin where somebody pops the bubble on this?
Not yet. Going higher. Much higher.
All right.
After the break, we'll tell people how to play Bitcoin.
All right, stand by for that, and everybody gets a free Bitcoin. No, they don't. First, we'll do this break. Then you've got the big story on what?
It's Steve Bertrand's series, part two in his series called Second Act.
All right, stand by for that on 720 WGN. I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, dollar. My friend for, I don't know, 25 years or so, Jordan Goodman, is on the phone. He knows more about money than anybody. And are you all set for the holidays? I mean, you having people around, or what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely having a lot of people around. It's going to be a great time.
Do you cook?
I watch other people cook.
Good move. Good move. Solid. Very solid. Before I ask you about Bitcoin, you know, a lot of WGN listeners have questions. Jordan answers all his email.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So you go to moneyanswers.com. You can email him directly there. Ask him any questions you want, including about the commercial mortgage bridge loans.
Absolutely.
Anything at all.
We have to help him on any topic. You bet.
And just email him there. All right. Bitcoin. Cryptocurrency. The layman's explanation, because there's nobody more lame than me, is what?
Okay, this is a virtual global currency that's electronic. You cannot hold a Bitcoin in your hand. And it's become an absolute craze, I think is putting it mildly. It started the year at about $1,000 per Bitcoin. As of right now, it's about $19,000 per Bitcoin. So it's up 1,900%. This year, okay, and it's just caused people to go do really crazy things, take out mortgages to buy Bitcoins and so on. So you could either do it directly. There are these exchanges like called Coinbase and Bittrex. Those are the two of the big ones. And then you create an account there, and then you can buy, and Bitcoin's the biggest one, but there's other ones. There's one called Ethereum. There's another one called Litecoin, for example, and they've just been gyrating all over the place, but generally up, so that's one way to do it. Now, about a week ago, the Chicago futures markets started trading Bitcoin as well, on the options markets and the futures markets. That's a little bit too risky for most people, but it kind of gave it legitimacy. And then there are actual stocks you can buy that are pure plays on Bitcoin. There's one called the Bitcoin Investment Trust, the symbol for that, GBTC. That started the year. When you were buying it, Steve, it was about 200. Now it's about 3,200, something like that.
Wow.
So you've done very well, Steve, I must say.
Good rate of return. Jeez.
I just, at what point does this go?
Right.
Not anytime soon. Some people have said that this is like email in 1994. Okay? It's like kind of coming out of the hobbyist phase.
It's not a fad.
It's like, what is this thing? What is this at
sign? But it's incredibly overvalued.
Well, it's overvalued. I mean, there's a limitation on the number of Bitcoins. Currently, there's about 16 million, and the total amount that could ever be created in history is 21 million. To create new Bitcoins is what's called mining. You do electronic mining.
And it's based on an algorithm, so the math limits the total.
Correct. And it's big hedge funds with supercomputers and server farms taking up huge amounts of electricity doing Bitcoin mining.
And people stealing computer time. People that have created bots to go in and take your computer and they combine it with 1,000 others.
It's pretty crazy. But now I heard McDonald's is going to start taking Bitcoin next year. you're going to waive cell phone.
How many chicken nuggets can you get for a Bitcoin? A lot
of chicken nuggets for one Bitcoin. It's 19,000 per Bitcoin.
It kind of reminds me of maybe on a much different level of bonds. Remember how as a kid you got a bond and then it would just on a very lower scale, of course, but how it would just kind of max out. So I'd love to buy like a Bitcoin for my goddaughter.
But here's the thing about bonds. Bonds went up very
slowly. Yeah.
Yes. This went up from 1,000 to 19,000. About 2 weeks ago, on one day, it went from 13,000 to 19,000, a drop to like 17,000. I mean, it's very volatile moment to moment. But I think it's going to go a long way. Some very reputable people have said that Bitcoin could be 40,000 by the end of the next day.
Who owns it?
It is owned by the worldwide community. It is not owned by an individual person. And it's outside of the government situation and outside of central banks. It's not controlled by banks or any government.
This is the part
people like it for.
This is the part that's tough to wrap your head around. If nobody owns it,
correct,
and we have a limited amount of Bitcoin that could be created,
Right.
And there's no profit center where all of this is going and decisions are being made on the future of Bitcoin.
Totally decentralized, correct.
It totally sounds like a carnival trick to me.
Oh, completely. And I could see where it would be scary, too, or where you'd have your reservations, because what if it did go away? Not that it seems like it will anytime soon, but then where does your money go? Into virtual, what, space?
Well, at 19,000, wouldn't you go out and buy 19 shares of Google, yeah, of Alphabet, or 19 shares of Apple? Or
this is a whole different animal, and it's not, people say, what is it backed by? It's not backed by anything.
Right.
It's
like, good luck.
Backed by gold. It's a bunch of ones and zeros when you get down to it. But it's created a craze. I've never seen anything like it, actually, in looking at these things for 35 years. Maybe the gold peak in 1980, but this is way more than that. And it's drawing people in. And it's not only those coins. There's lots of other cryptocurrencies out there. You want the next really big one, Steve? I'm going to give you an early
tip. Is it Litecoin
here,
or is it something else?
No, the big three are Litecoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin. The next big one that's coming, and you heard it here first, is called Ripple. That's the big one coming.
Ripple?
And Ripple's only about $4 right now. So,
and where would I buy Ripple?
You could go to, again, Bittrex or Coinbase. Apparently, Coinbase is the most searched term on Google these days, by far.
So all right, now, if somebody's got $19,000 lying around, would it be advisable to buy Bitcoin today? Because
if they can afford to lose it.
After
yes.
you pay your property taxes.
After you pay your non-deductible right. property taxes.
Yes. Now buy it, yeah.
Yes.
Now, I mean, it's clearly volatile, and it could go down a lot, but I think in the long run, it's going to go up higher. It's wildly volatile. This is pure speculation. But, I mean, what else out there has gone up from 1,000 to 19,000 in one year?
Well, I'm like you. I've never seen anything like it. It just seems to me that if it goes up, what is that, 1,900 times? Or 190 times? If it goes up that many times in a year,
there are literally multimillionaires that have been created. I was at a conference in October. This guy showed me his phone, and he had 20 different cryptos on. He said he put $4,000 in May. And that was worth $120,000. And he showed it to me. I mean,
oh
it was not, making that.
All right, so insane. if people did get in early, how are they selling it? Through the exchanges?
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can transfer it back to traditional currencies that are called fiat currencies. So that's kind of a derisive term. Oh, you know, fiats? You know. I'm in cryptos, but you're in fiats. So you can go back and forth between fiats and cryptos just electronically. You set up your Coinbase account, and there it goes.
Why can't, but okay, now, in the world of real, you said McDonald's may take Bitcoin.
It's going to. They've officially announced they're going to. Uh-huh.
Okay, so because the point being, somebody's got to accept it. For it to have true value, someone has to be able
merchant,
to accept it as a currency.
If you were a merchant, wouldn't you want to take something that goes up dramatically in value?
Oh, absolutely. No, but I'm saying until that becomes a regular part of life,
which is
then
going
it's...
to be. A year from now, you're going to have your little Bittrex account, and every time you buy something, you're going to wave your phone at something, kind of like Apple Pay, but instead of doing actual dollars, you'll be spending Bitcoin. Now, not a whole Bitcoin, fractional shares of it.
So I would assume all over the country there are guys named Timmy with acne problems that are skipping school and they're in the basement with 47 computers.
Absolutely.
Who are creating more digital currency, hoping it's going to catch on. What makes one better than the other? And you said this
it's
one.
Huge. These are what are called ICOs, initial coin offerings. Okay, like an initial public offering.
Just such a, it's ridiculous.
And there are ICOs happening all over the place. But the main thing is that it has to actually be used, and they practical kind of way, but it's being done. Bitcoin by far being the biggest one. The total amount of cryptocurrencies in the world is about 350 billion now. It started the year at about 50 billion, something like that.
Okay.
The total amount of currency in the entire world is about 8 trillion, so it's only about 5% of world currency, but it's coming on fast.
This is a total laywoman's question, and I apologize if this does sound stupid. But
ask the question, we'll get the answer after
the break. All right, how do you know your money is safe for people who want their tangible money or who go in and look at their stocks or their portfolio?
It's funny you said the word safe.
I know, exactly. And where does the money go in case something does happen to it?
All right, stand by.
Okay.
Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com for all money questions.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
Jordan Goodman's with us.
And we're talking about Bitcoin, and we really don't have any time to do the regular stuff we normally do. But, I mean, this takes a ton of time because it's important. And a texter helpfully pointed out you can also buy Ripple not just at Bittrex, but at the liquor store. And I had forgotten about that.
That's true. See, tastes better.
So you got that going on. But for those of you that want to email Jordan, he will get back to you as fast as he possibly and humanly can. Go to moneyanswers.com, and you can email him. All right. Before this holiday season wraps up, and happy holidays to you and everybody in your life, Jordan, what is one thing or two things you want to send the audience away with?
I did this last month and got a huge response. I really love to help heroes, and there's a program called Heroes Come First, heroescomefirst.com. If you are a doctor, a first responder, a police person, a fire person, EMT, anything like that, you can get huge discounts on mortgages, mortgage rates and fees, and buying and selling a home. You get a rebate on commissions on when you buy a home or when you sell a home, and it's been a very, very popular program with your listeners. So heroescomefirst.com is the website for that.
Okay.
They got a phone number too, 800-272-5626. I love to give back to people, and that's certainly one way to do it at the end of the year here.
All right, very nice. And
I'll do one more. How about if I give people unlimited, like tens of thousands of dollars as a way to end the year?
Bitcoins that? For everybody! Oh, not Bitcoins, okay.
No, a lot of people have life insurance policies they don't realize they can sell instead of letting them lapse. It's a huge, insurance companies will never tell you about that, but you can sell your life insurance policy for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars that will not cost you anything. A website for that is fundinglife.com. This is what's called the life settlement market. And instead of having the policy lapse, you sell it. Whoever buys it then gets the death benefit whenever you die. But meanwhile, you get like $200,000 or $300,000. The older you are, and the sicker you are, the more you're going to get for it, because they'd rather that you not stick around too long. But
yeah, well, and some people go, well, this is creepy. No, it's a way to use cash if you need cash.
Absolutely. So say you're, 70 and you've got a heart condition. If you've got a medical condition, normally that's a bad thing. This is a good thing in this case. So I'm turning a liability into an asset by selling your life insurance policy for literally $200,000 to $300,000. Some of your listeners have done that. So again, the website for that, fundinglife.com.
Moneyanswers.com is where I recommend you go. Get your answers on all things. The good news, the bad news, and everything in between.
And the Bitcoin
as well. Coinbase is one of the sites, and I'm registering for it right now.
Good.
Where you can buy Ripple and Mad Dog 2020 and other things.
I've made you a lot of money this year, Steve.
You really have.
Yeah, has worked for you, right?
And, yeah. Oh. Yes. Yeah, NVIDIA paid for Christmas.
Very good.
Yes. But thank you, Jordan, and have a great holiday.
Great year.
All right, thank you.
Happy New Year. I'll talk to you next
Jordan.
Year.
There you go.
Okay, thanks, Andrea.
That's Jordan Goodman.
I'm writing all this down.
I'm telling you.
This is great.
It's unbelievable.
Bitcoin for you, get a Bitcoin.
Oh, and again, if you have questions about the commercial mortgage bridge loan situation, again, moneyanswers.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
We go live to Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Steve. Happy holidays.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine.
Monitor's up here in the studio. I was just looking to my left a moment ago, and there she was. Mm-hmm. Delightful, frozen Anna Balaval.
She's outside today.
Yeah. It's not that cold. She looks like she's...
No, she's from, she's...
Puerto Rico.
Born and raised in Puerto Rico, when it gets to be like 70 degrees, she's got her parka on.
But when you're out there for a while, the chill kind of gets into your bones just a little bit.
Or not.
Or not. Yeah, waiting for a response from Dean as well.
Yeah, it's cold.
Are
when
you getting
out there.
A different show on your headphones, Dean?
I'm not buying that.
Oh, I see.
When you're out there covering stories, you're out in the cold, she's just a little chilly.
You should feel warm if you're active and busy.
So you're saying Anna Balaval is making it up for attention?
No, this is her. She and I go back and forth on this constantly, all the time that I've known her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She wears a parka all the time.
Mm-hmm. Even in July.
She's always cold.
Mm-hmm.
She has the biggest coats I've ever seen in my life.
Well, she's a tiny person.
I guess she's kind of tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's her, it's her island background. that makes her more sensitive to it.
So you're saying she's knee-deep in the coconut cocktails and making this up for attention. Sure. That's what I'm getting from you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think that's fine. But
it seems fair.
She did look extra cold out there today. And,
so.
And I will just add, I'm born and raised here in Chicago, you know, born and raised with the cold, bitter Chicago winters and snow. And I'm glad I'm not out there.
We just hope she survives. A couple of holiday movies are going to get out early today, right? Either one of these worth seeing?
I think they're both okay. One's a little better than the other. The one is Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Kevin Hart, Jack Black. Nick Jonas is in the movie, Karen Gillian. Who else? Bobby Cannavale's in the movie. So a nice cast that this movie basically follows the same formula as the old Robin Williams Jumanji from 1995, where in this case a bunch of kids are playing an old video game. And Steve, they get magically sucked into the game. It's magic.
And they turn into the game characters.
These are like some dweeby teenagers in detention, and they get sucked into the game, and they turn
it's in. Like Breakfast Club meets Pong.
Yes, that's exactly correct. That's perfect. I'm sorry that I've already written my review and I'm too lazy to change it, because that's the perfect description, really.
and they change like who they are. Like a girl could be a boy,
right? Yeah, Jack Black, there's sort of one of these, as a teenager, kind of a flighty, you know, it's kind of Valley Girl-like character, always on her phone. And when she gets sucked into the game, she becomes Jack Black. Not an upgrade if you're a pretty young woman.
I'm not, you know, I'm not a huge Jack Black fan. Am I the only one?
He's funny. He's okay. Small doses.
Everything is just the same speed.
I think the act is running a little thin for me.
You too?
I'd like to see him do something different.
I'd like to see Shakespeare. To be or not to be. Everything, it's like a Gilbert Gottfried thing. It's like, settle down.
Yeah, enough. Enough. Do something different. Although, I have to say that he, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and somewhat Kevin Hart play opposite the normal personas that you would expect them to play in this movie. It's one of the things that I liked about this movie, and it's really slow starting. This whole, you know, high school teenager thing goes on for like 20 minutes before any action really begins in, you know, the actual Jumanji in the jungle. But once it does, it's pretty exciting, and you get kind of engaged, and, you know, they're in this jungle-like setting, and, you know, they have to survive in order to escape. And you get caught up in that, and you get caught up in these are very charismatic, very likable characters in this movie. This is the perfect movie. You want to take the whole family to go see something over the holiday weekend.
The whole family?
This is the entire family.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Little Abigail would love this movie. Grandma would like this movie. Everybody would like this movie.
All right. Well, that's for
I
sure.
I guarantee.
But my mom would be great at Jumanji.
I gave it a Dean's List a B, by the way.
Yeah, me too. The Greatest Showman
is the new Hugh Jackman movie. He plays P.T. Barnum, the circus legend. And it's a big, colorful movie musical. We haven't had one of this stature in a pretty long time.
Ilk. One of this ilk.
Okay. I like the word ilk.
Yeah.
I don't use the word ilk enough.
Yeah, work it into the sentence. It's one of this ilk.
It's part of it. We haven't had one of this ilk in quite some time. And I like the movie except for a couple of things. Number one, this movie is set in the 1800s. And, you know, the music soundtrack begins in this movie, and suddenly you're at the MTV Music Awards. The music is, you know, it's very Cirque du Soleil, very Pink, very edgy, very dancey. Basically, all the things that did not exist in the 1800s at all. And just every time a song and dance number came up, really slick, really, you know, cool choreography. If it just 1 minute ago you weren't, you know, having a little horse and buggy go by and oil lanterns, lighting the streets. It was a little bit contradictory to me, so that took me a little bit out of the story. And I just really never cared about any of the characters in this movie. Everything's extremely superficial. This is classic example of style over substance. So I liked the movie. I didn't love the movie. And normally I like movie musicals. I wound up giving this just a C+.
All right. Those are your two movies that are out today.
Right.
But the holiday movies that come out Friday. Friday. Friday's the big release day.
Five more on Friday.
And what's coming?
Pitch Perfect 3 is going to be opening. I'm going to see that tonight, so I'll be able to give you a little bit of a clue. I, Tonya, the Tonya Harding movie,
which I hear is pretty good.
I have seen, and I actually love this movie. It's so weird and so white trashy. It's a mess that you can't take your eyes off of.
And what's the starter? The star's name?
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
She's great.
The lovely Margot Robbie plays Tonya.
She is fantastic.
She put some weight on?
A little bit.
Yeah,
she put a little bit. Tonya Harding was not, super huge, but she did put a lot, and clearly she's doing a lot of her own ice skating in the movie, so that was something. But
I do all my own skating on this show.
I know you do. I've heard you skate many times show. The one really that kind of steals this movie, though, is Allison Janney, who plays her. To call her a dysfunctional mother doesn't go far enough. She was just about the worst mother that there could possibly be to poor little Tonya Harding. And it is white trash palooza on ice is what you see in this movie. And I sort of loved it. So we've got that. That's not a review that I just gave you,
by the way. And it sounds like such a delightful holiday film.
Mm-hmm. It is. If anything screams Merry Christmas, it's Nancy Kerrigan getting it across the shins with an iron pipe.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Dean, I heard a reporter ask Allison Janney if she had interviewed Tonya Harding's mom, to kind of get into the role.
Right.
And she kind of looked there and went, yeah, no, for a multitude of reasons, namely because she, wasn't portrayed in a flattering light.
Yeah,
so what are you going to learn from her?
I'm going to guess that she was not participating in this this complete disparaging of her character as a human being. We have that Matt Damon movie where he becomes miniature. Downsizing.
The Shrinky Dinks.
We have the Shrinky Dink movie. It's actually called Downsizing. And we have the Owen Wilson, Ed Helms movie. Father figures.
I sort of hope this is funny, but it's not, is it?
I saw it last night, and I'm going to say that what you were saying is pretty true.
Okay, but that's not a review.
Mm-mm.
Okay,
I'm just confirming. I'm just saying what what
you're trying to make me feel better.
Yeah, I'm just trying to humor Steve.
And then what's the other one?
The studio should be listening. So let's see. We have that. We have Molly's Game. The Idris Elba movie that's going to be opening in this movie.
Oh, that looks great.
That movie that they just reshot a couple of days ago because Kevin Spacey was
all the money in the world.
Getty, All the Money in the World is also going to be opening. So
that's a big movie. Then.
There's a lot of stuff opening. Almost all of them open on Friday. Molly's Game and All the Money in the World opens actually on Christmas Day itself.
And the actress in Molly's Game is.
I have to look this up.
She's from...
Jessica
Chastain. Yeah. Who told a funny story that, you get recognized in different ways. And somebody apparently went up to her and just very casually went, "Hey, thanks for getting Bin Laden." And then kept walking. How great is that? Because you don't know if you believe that she did.
Right.
Or he was just complimenting the movie.
If it's in a movie, it must be true.
Zero Dark Thirty was the star maker for
her. And then people coming up to Allison Janney saying, "Hey, you played Tonya Harding's mom in such a great
way. Hey, thanks for being a drunk."
Yeah, you are horrible. You're a horrible person.
You're a bad mom.
Thanks for being awful.
Traffic first, then Mordain on 720 WGN.
You'll be calling his name.
Do you know Dean insists on music wherever he goes? Yeah, entry music like this wherever he goes.
Normally I have a little trio that follows me around.
Right.
I usually use the recorded. I'm old school.
So you would think Lady Gaga wouldn't go anywhere near something that would lock her down. But there's got to be so much money in Vegas, everybody wants a residency, right?
Yep. She's going to do, they just announced that she is going to do one of these Las Vegas residencies starting next year. And Steve, maybe you would consider a residency also if you got more than $1 million per show.
Yeah. Now, here's what I'm doing.
God.
Here's what I'm doing. I'm doing a talk radio residency. I'm doing a talk show residency there, and they're giving me $7.
Yep.
$7 for the entire run.
$1 million so, per show?
Per show is what Variety says the deal is worth.
What could one do with all that money?
I don't know, but one's going to have a good time figuring it out.
I could start a list right now. That's what Steve's making for the show in Downers Grove on New Year's Eve.
I love when Andrea talks in, like, I don't know, fourth person. What could one do?
As it's a hypothetical, as if I'd have a problem spending that kind of money.
Andrea Shakespeare, as she likes to be.
Yes,
that's right.
Forsooth.
So is she going to do the regular 5, 6, 7 shows a week thing?
She is. All we know right now is that it's going to be a 2-year residency. It'll kick off in December of next year at the MGM Park Theater. There will be 74 shows, possibility of extending the run. So not even a lot of shows, but that's going to be an enormous draw.
Well, let me do the math here for you. That's $74 million. So good for her. You know, I'm watching a little bit of The Voice last night. And by the way, you should see there's a couple texters a little upset with me that I gave up the winner. Remember the old days where you actually had to be a grown-up and, not be concerned whether or not I was going to ruin a show for you? But anyway, Sia was on.
Mm-hmm.
Sia.
With the hair?
Yeah, Sia.
The one with the hair over
tremendous
her eyes.
Writer. With a beautiful voice who becomes a singer, but you never actually see her face.
Right.
Lady Gaga must look at her and go, that chick's weird.
Where's her suit made of meat?
Yeah, yeah. I don't get that gig. I don't get why we can't see her face.
That's her thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, those
it's
crazy like a kids.
Kids. All right, John.
Song was a song.
The song had some music in it.
I remember that Vic Damone. Now, he was a singer.
Had a melody. You could tap your toe.
That's right.
Not all your toes, just one of your toes. John Legend is going to play who?
Jesus Christ.
You don't need to curse.
Superstar.
Seems like a fair question.
There's going to be, they do these TV musicals lately. Although the one from this past Sunday, Christmas Story, the musical, tanked in the ratings. Huge bomb. Hopefully Jesus Christ Superstar. Well, I'd feel bad if Jesus Christ got bad ratings this coming Easter Sunday, because this is when this is going to be on NBC.
And they're doing a live?
They're doing a live Jesus Christ Superstar, wow. And John Legend will play JC himself in this. I imagine. that's what he told me to call him.
JC.
That's what he told me to call him.
If he gets bad ratings, he might not come back.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, look what you did there. Right?
I don't want to be the audience that gives the Lord and Savior bad ratings.
Well, you see it flipping through and it's Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. You go, well, I'm not watching this.
Nah, I don't want to watch
Don't that. Change it. Don't flip through.
Three's Company on.
Speaking of that, Christmas Eve time on WGN TV. Let's get the blatant plug in.
Steve.
Yes, Dean?
A rerun. Two reruns of two very, very nostalgic programs. Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock. Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics, our 2-hour special. It's our annual tradition on Christmas Eve. But this year, we had the tradition also immediately following Bozo, Gar, and Ray, the encore presentation of Family Classics that I host, showing the movie Scrooge with Alistair Sim, what is left of the original Family Classics set, the Family Classic chair and the books and the whole...
And right now, rave reviews are popping up in here, but you can't see them because it's radio. It says John DeCoste says it's fantastic.
John did enjoy Family Classics.
Yes.
He did let me know that, and I appreciate it. We had really good ratings for that when it was on a couple of weeks ago. So if you missed it, Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN TV Classics, Christmas Eve 1 to 3, and then the encore of Family Classics from 3 to 5. Because that's how I like to spend my holidays, with you.
That's right.
Our listeners and viewers.
Dean never quits working. And since you brought up New Year's Eve, eventbrite.com. Search Steve Cochran. Come see us New Year's Eve at the Tivoli, including the great Mike Toomey.
Eventbrite. bright.
There you go.
I wish my keyboard was louder. It would sound more dramatic.
It's kind of like a New Year's Eve residency that you have.
That's right.
Isn't it?
We're having a one-night residency in Downers. That's exactly right. All right, Dean, more from you tomorrow.
See ya.
And we'll take a break, come back, get you the big story, and then Coach Q on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Did you ever see the faces of the children? They get so excited.
You know the drill. It's the Who for Coach Q.
Waking up on Christmas morning hours before the winter sun's ignited.
It's Christmas from the Who. Listen to this classic Christmas song.
They believe in dreams and all they mean.
Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Remember, it's not just a chicken wing place. It's Hooters. That's what it is. American institution. That's what I'm talking about. Coach Q standing by on the phone. He's ready to go right now. Let's pick it up and say hello. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Great. Merry Christmas to you and the whole crew there this morning.
Well, thank you very much. And this is not exactly an off day for you. It's a very busy time of year. And, you know, you just turned it around. The boys turned it around. What's different in the last week? What are you feeding them, something new? What's going on?
Well, we won three at home when we were in a tough stretch there. And then those games were very important for us in the standings. I thought we found a way to win. Not necessarily had a great 60 minutes. Our last two were maybe five periods of really good hockey, really consistent, had the puck a lot, you know, playing the right way, a lot of speed, consistency in our lines. D's been solid. Goaltender Crow's been great. That's been the one consistency of our game all year. It's been the strength of Crow in the net and maybe 40 minutes for most of the game. So I think if we can nail that consistency for the whole 60, you know, that's going to make us a better team and put us in a better spot.
Everybody's skating better. I mean, they look like the Blackhawks again. After that sort of disjointed period, it looks like everything's going in the right direction again. So congratulations. And by the way, you mentioned Crow. I wasn't able to make the Hawks Christmas party yesterday, but I understand Little Crow, Corey Crawford's little guy, was at the party skating in tiny goalie gear.
Yeah,
To be fantastic.
It was the coolest thing I've seen. I've never seen anything like it. So it was what a great shot, and it was a pretty good idea too. So it was so I guess when he was born, the pad company sent him a set there when he was born. And
how about that?
It was so fitting with him on yesterday. It was great. It was great.
So they put him in a high chair and throw Cheerios at him just to see what kind of reflexes he has. I mean, why not, right?
Hey, that was pretty clever there. Yeah, that's good.
Well, it's not my first day.
Breaking him in that way, yeah.
Right. You got to test those reflexes. Dave, say hi to Coach Q.
Coach, good morning. It's obviously been a terrific stretch here for Patrick Kane. Not that anybody should really be surprised, but do you see any difference in him lately? Or is it just that guys are getting the puck to him and he's getting the puck to guys in the right situation?
That line's been coming along. I think he's getting better as over this stretch of games here, and I think when he has the puck like he has more recently, it's so much more dangerous for them to defend and to worry about, and all the options are there. And Schmaltzy, you know, they complement each other on some nice goals as well, already at the net. So I think that line's been very effective and dangerous, and Kaner's been leading the charge in that area, and so it's been he's scoring some goals too. When he gets hot, you know, he can take our team to the next level, and that's been one of the reasons why we've had some success here.
You know, Kaner seems to always be in the right place on the ice, but the passing has been so much crisper. Is that something you guys work on, you know, maybe a little more intensely this time of year, or is that something else that's just coming together?
I think we're always working on that. That's an ongoing skill that you every day in practice, even you know, optional skates in the morning or game day skates. That every time you're touching the puck, you know, we feel that the area that we haven't been as good as we can be is us with the puck, whether it's passing, whether it's receiving, whether it's where we put it, or whether we want to keep it longer. I think that's the area where we can manage it and influence. And I think one of the strengths of our team has always been making the other team spend time in their own end. And off of that, you know, a lot of things can happen. Is in our last game, you saw, you know, Kaner's line. They had about almost a minute shift in the other team's end. Didn't generate much in the scoring chance department, but shifts like that can wear the other team down. You get momentum in the game. You can draw penalties, and off of that, you know, you start taking over the game. And we're starting to see more shifts like that in games. And if we can do that, a little more consistency, that's kind of when we're at our best. That's a good sign for us.
Should we read anything into how you slapped around Minnesota the other night, or is it just another day at work?
Every game is different. We know it was a huge game for us. We liked how our team played in a big game, in a big moment, kind of like the setup for another team that's tied with us going into tomorrow's game in Dallas. So it's a... you know, but we liked that was probably the most consistent game we've had in a long stretch of games. So that was positive. And, you know, I don't care who the opponent is. We play like that. We're going to find a way to get points.
How does the schedule work now? For you have six on the road, but you go to Dallas and then New Jersey, and then you get this Christmas break, which is still a relatively new feature in the NHL. And then you go out west. So will guys have time to scatter and enjoy Christmas and then reconvene?
And then show up in Vancouver on time?
Show up in Vancouver? Is that how it works?
That's exactly how it's going to work. We get after the Jersey game, we get to you know, we come home, and if guys want to meet us on the 27th in Vancouver, they can. But the flight will leave early on the 27th. Practice when we get into Vancouver the day before the game, and then we get back to backers out in Vancouver and Edmonton. But you know, everybody gets three full days off, and then you know, some guys can go home from Jersey right from there as well. Or fly back with the team and then go where they want to go. But we got some guys going to Western Canada and then meet us in Vancouver as well.
And then there's a nice stretch of home games in January, but the Hawks won't be back at the Madhouse on Madison until the 5th, Friday the 5th, and then there's a nice stretch with Edmonton or Philly. So New Year's Eve in Calgary, is that a good time?
I don't know. We haven't been there in that situation. Well, normally, we don't stay overnight after New Year's games. We're usually traveling, but we get the trip all the way out to the back to New York, so we're going to be there after the game. And we got 3 and 4 nights. It's well, that's our schedule, and we'll see what happens there. But it's a not. It's very unusual that you're going to finish the trip all the way back from the west, going all the way to the east coast too. So that's going to be a long flight. So we'll see.
Do you have any memories of playing New Year's Eve or Christmas Day or New Year's Day games? I don't remember. I don't remember the NHL in your era doing that.
I don't think we've ever played Christmas Day since I've been in the league. I think maybe prior to that, they used to do it. They went from 1 day off to 2 days off, and now it's to 3 days off. So it's great that the league recognizes that time of the year, and you know, special it is with families and you know, other leagues playing games at that time. That's great. You get to watch them as well. But it's a situation where you know you're going to be off and get that, enjoy that special time. And we got a lot of young guys here with some young families here, so that's it'll be special for those guys, and hopefully they take advantage of some quality time. But I can't remember. But New Year's Eve, we've always played on New Year's Eve, and you know, over the years, it's always been, you know, it's like another game.
You mentioned the youngsters. Do you take any Blackhawk orphans in? If any of the guys don't have any place to go on Christmas, do they come to Q's house?
I'm sure they're definitely welcome. I'm sure they're not going to take me up on it, though.
So you want to hang out with the boss on Christmas? Come on. By the way, what do you get for Christmas? What do people buy you?
I don't want anything.
No, I know you don't want anything, but what do people buy?
You know, yes, there's standard stuff that you don't.
Gloves.
Socks, underwear, right. You know, those kind of things.
Right. Scarf.
hat.
No, I don't need anything. No, I really don't. I don't want anything.
Yeah. Well, that's good because I'm not getting anything this year either. So, you know, I feel
perfect. I'm going to reciprocate.
I feel like that tradition is working out well for us.
That was a nice exchange.
Yeah, it's very strong.
Do you want like a spoken word, spoken holiday message for Coach?
You want me to like do poetry for him?
Yeah.
That'd be a great way to end this relationship. He'd never take another call, and I wouldn't blame him. Coach, have a great Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we look forward to this stretch because the boys are looking good. So have some fun and enjoy a couple of days off.
Yeah, same to you guys. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy New Year. We won't see you for a bit, so look forward to talking to you guys in the new year.
Well, yeah, thanks. Big January coming up. There you go, Coach Q.
Travel safe.
Yeah, Santa Q.
I mean, you look at that schedule.
It's a lot.
I mean, but just the way they do it, and granted, there's a break in between, but Dallas, Jersey, then the Pacific Northwest,
yeah.
And then back to New York.
Yeah, it's goofy.
Yeah.
It's goofy. Yeah.
Is
it possible that the scheduled dude in the NHL office is just liquored up early?
Maybe. You know,
in the eggnog. Yeah.
But, you know, the NBA has kind of taken ownership of Christmas Day from a scheduling standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Bulls for years have played on Christmas. They're not this year, but they have in the past pretty regularly.
Yeah, and the NHL's done a decent job of grabbing New Year's Day with the outdoor games.
With the Winter Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Hawks playing great. Tomorrow night, what time?
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock pregame with Chris Bowden, and then the face-off with Mr. Weideman and Mr. Murray at 7:30.
Bowden sounds good, too. We haven't talked to Chris in a while, but he's doing a nice job.
For a kid just starting out.
Yeah, he's brand new.
Yeah.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to Station WGN.
This may be the greatest intro to any song ever. Stevie Wonder. Here on Much More Talk, Much Less Music, 720 WGN. God, I love this song. Another Christmas classic. Burger King news. That's something I haven't said in a while. The world's number one Burger King fan has been identified, or at least the number one fan in France. I didn't know there were Burger Kings in France.
No, I thought there was just McDonald's and KFCs.
French Burger Kings. Sullivan K. posted more comments than anyone else on Burger King's Facebook page. 637 comments.
I didn't know there was 601. Six things to say.
I believe this. I believe second place was one. It was 637, and then second place was one.
Wow.
And that was the king. So BK said thanks and gave him his very own Burger King restaurant.
No. I thought you were going to say they gave him like a year supply of burgers.
BK wrapped up the restaurant. 35 workers used over 1 kilometer of material to wrap it one night and presented it to Sullivan. The location now reads home of, I guess it's Sullivan K above the door. He was given his own parking spot, his own golden tray, his own table, his own custom Whopper packaging, and he gets to eat there free for a year.
I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, just for a year, though?
Yeah, just a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And whoever is the replacement, most comments on the Facebook page, doesn't say if the comments are positive or negative, but most comments on the Facebook page for a year also gets a similar deal next year.
Can you imagine liking something that much that you post 637 times about it? Anything?
What could you have to say to Burger King 637 times in a year?
I don't know.
I don't get it. I can't tell you the last time I was at a Burger King. Anyone?
No. I don't either.
Anyone?
I would always do McDonald's, and then Wendy's was kind of my go-to after that.
But I have to say, they did make a discovery that previously I wasn't aware of. Chicken fries. Chicken fries. Who knew? Who knew there were chicken fries?
You know how
I
knew there was a chicken fry.
Yeah.
I always liked their chicken tenders when I was younger, but we never went there, but I liked going, but my family friends.
Wait, did you actually go or did you think about going?
So when we would be at the Alamos, they would take us because they live near. They have the best barbecue sauce too.
Okay.
But there is a Burger King in Glenview, not far from my yoga studio, And similarly to how I think about McDonald's and the Egg McMuffin,
no,
I think about that Chris Sandwich thing all the time, and I see it.
But you still never order it.
Oh no, I don't get it because I can't. I'm going to yoga. I can't. The damage from the Chris Sandwich. I mean, I'd be in the negative. But it. I think it's a very delicious.
I was talking to a woman in New York, a good friend of mine. And I told her the story about how you're upset about the Rock and Roll McDonald's closing because you like to think about the breakfast you never order.
Yes.
She goes, "You're an idiot. I totally get it."
She gets it. See, I like
women do get it. Seriously, you just want
the
option.
I like to know it's there.
Yeah,
but I'm never going to get it probably because I can't get in the habit of eating an Egg McMuffin every morning.
It's like
but I like the option.
It's like a store that you grew up with, like 7-Eleven. Remember, as a kid, you got Slurpees and stuff. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't go into a 7-Eleven.
This is just one of these great separators. I remember once minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. And Oprah does a show, an entire hour about breaking up with your hairdresser. And previous to that, I didn't know that was a thing.
Okay, I can't talk about
it. Because here's the deal. Dave, like, if you're getting your hair cut somewhere, I have to use you as an example, Dave, because I don't have any hair.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting a haircut and you decide I want to get a haircut someplace else, you don't stress over that. What do? You get a haircut someplace else.
If I'm walking by a place and I say, "Can I really need a haircut? I don't have time to go to my regular place. I'm just going to jump in here."
Yeah. So this is one of the great gender separators. The idea that you would think about eating food,
yes,
but not actually eating.
So I think about that Chris sandwich.
And that you get some sort of pleasure out of thinking about it.
I do. I do. Also, as a child, my dad, he really pushed the flame-broiled burger.
Why? Because it was supposedly healthier?
It was better for you somehow.
Oh, yeah, so. Sure it was. Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah, there's no question.
So I was brainwashed with that as well.
I'm glad you're off the other topic.
Yeah, the one about dumping your hairdresser, your stylist.
So
if
Mary
anyone, yeah, if anyone has a problem,
like
yeah, if you, away. If anyone out there has a problem and they need to get rid of their hairstyles, I'll make the call for you.
Oh God, can right. we just? I'm right. getting warm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You do look like you're a little flushed.
If your hairdresser isn't doing what you want,
right.
you should get rid of them.
Like anybody out there, because
yeah.
all of
if you
we
say
love
keep
ours.
It long and they cut it short, get rid of them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 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 If you want a certain color and they won't do it, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're driving by McDonald's, you want to eat something, pull
don't,
in.
No, don't get that. No, think about it.
Want to hear something really funny? My son got a haircut up in Madison, Wisconsin, and this girl wrote a note to his wife, my son's wife, my daughter-in-law, and said, "Christopher should not keep his hair, ever grow his hair long. He does not have the right kind of hair for this."
Wait, wrote it to the
she
wife?
She wrote a note to my daughter-in-law to tell her this. And I go, "Don't ever go back to her again. That is so weird." Who
so she's
that?
Commenting on the husband's hair?
Yes, she was commenting on my
your
son's
son-in-law.
Hair. And no, my son.
Oh, your son.
And when his hair does get long, because my daughter-in-law wanted him to grow his hair out a little
funny.
Bit. And he's like, "No, I don't want to." So she wrote a note to tell him.
That's on our next episode of Real Stylist of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And you know what? That's fine. Good for that stylist. You know,
really?
He should always go back to her. Absolutely. You should always stay with your stylist.
And she printed it. It looked like she was two. I thought, oh my God.
Andrea's in here folding like a pup tent. It's 9 o'clock. We'll come
time
back.
Time for news.
We'll come back, get the news in a second. And CLTV joins us on 720 WGN.
All right. I'm happy to be here. Just good to be out, right? Just good to be out. Got kids at home. My wife and I have three. Got one in preschool, one in pre-preschool. Did you know that existed? Pre-preschool. My wife's like, "He wants to go." We got to sign him up. He wants to go to school. It's like, "He wants to go to school? He doesn't know what school is." "He wants to go to school? Just walk him out to the garage. Be like, here we are." Ah, this is our first day. This is a broom right here. We're going to learn how to sweep today. "He might be gifted." That's what my wife says. Like, "Yeah, he was eating a crayon yesterday. A purple one. Looked like you after a glass of wine."
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's my friend Pat McGann, one of the funniest people you ever see on stage. He's got a New Year's Eve show. Hold on now, before you go, wait a second, don't you have a New Year's Eve show? Here's the deal. You can go to the Tivoli, and you could see the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake up until midnight show. And you could be back home in time to see Pat McGann on WCIU.
Yep, WCIU. The U. They go by the U now.
In a New Year's Eve show that will they'll pretend is live that they taped like 6 months ago.
Yes.
That's
right.
Yes.
You just taped it on Saturday. And you don't need, you know, if you're at the Steve Cochran show at the Tivoli, just set the DVR. 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock. Up.
9 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay, well, then definitely DVR it. Yeah,
DVR it. And they're gonna replay it after.
Don't tell people how it ends.
No.
Yeah, because you know you don't want people to ruin it for
right.
you.
Right. I'm not here to give any.
Who else is
spoilers.
On the show?
We have we have a bunch of Chicago comics in the show.
Who?
Tim Walco, yeah. Andy Woodhull.
Yeah, good, good.
Dwayne Kennedy.
Good, good. Dwayne's
Jim
great.
Flanagan.
Yeah, he's great.
Russ Williamson.
Yep, no, never liked Russ.
Kelsey Huff.
Yep.
Emily Galati.
Emily, you still a shoplifter?
Yes. Chronic. Okay. No. Chronic. Uh-huh, uh-huh, always uh-huh. trying to overcome.
Wow,
that.
You do have a lot.
A lot, yeah.
We That's have a lot.
Joey Villagomez.
Did you
Abby
just not
Sanchez.
Get any of these people Christmas presents, so you decided to give them all a crack on the TV show?
Well, you know what? I feel like...
You booked everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Leibovitz steals the show. We have this remote going on, like a thread throughout the show. We have someone out in Bolingbrook.
Uh-huh.
See how they bring in the New Year's in faraway lands. Because I'm from Chicago. I don't know how they do it in other cultures.
So in Bolingbrook, is there a town square in Bolingbrook?
Is that a hotel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, swinging.
It's,
all right, now before we play a clip, I got to ask you a question. Because you have little ones. Your kids are how old?
5, 4, and 3.
5, 4, and 3. All right, so you talk about preschool and pre-preschool in your act. Abigail, the world's perfect grandchild, all the other grandchildren, not so much. And she just turned 2.
Yeah.
So when does she have to go to preschool? Because I didn't know the concept on preschool.
Soon. Could be next year she'll be going to school.
And she could be already, like, shut up.
Eligible.
Because if you haven't already enrolled.
Eligible.
Like, when they come right out, you're supposed to.
You mean when they come right out?
Yeah, like you.
You mean.
Like, you know what,
right there?
Yeah.
It's this and red.
Yeah, you got to
register.
You got to get on those lists because
the interview starts right away. Yeah. They usually come into the hospital room and say, see if you're our material for our school.
When you say eligible, is it like, okay, red crayon, green crayon?
No, age wise.
An entrance exam. Okay.
Okay, but the school.
It seems that way, some schools.
School does seem like a generous term for a 3-year-old.
Oh, definitely. It's just, you know, it's somewhere to drop them off and go and they're.
Right.
They're occupied.
And I think it's kind of an inconvenient time. Like, it's only 2 hours, so you can't really get anything done. You have to be back
pretty
quickly when they're that young.
Yeah.
And what is it, in the middle of the day?
I think you can do morning and afternoon.
Okay.
It's been my experience.
It's good for socialization. You know, if you're the first child of the family or the only child, it's good to get
around. We used to have that. It was called cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean... I agree with you.
Now
it's ridiculous.
Did you put your 5-year-old in preschool?
Yes, she went. She went to.
Is she a better person because
of Castle? That's where I went as well, on the south side. Yeah. The old Irish Castle. You ever see that in Longwood?
Like, yes.
Hunter and Longwood. Uh-huh. Yeah. So she thought she was.
Is she a better person now?
Not only did we call her a princess at home, and then we sent her to a castle for school.
That's a good way to get her to go.
Yeah. Healthy ego, that one.
Now my friends' kids have play dates. I didn't even know what a play date was till like a year ago.
I know. I can't even call them play dates. It's just like, does your kid want to hang out with my kid?
Right.
Well, and sometimes they're just awkward. Like, it's weird when one of the kids will give another kid a fake phone number.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to get out of the play date. Right.
Right.
Yeah. A broken crayon.
Right. Just somewhere I can go. You good? You feeling good?
Yeah,
you
know, I feel great. I'm excited about this show. We worked really hard on it. We just taped it last Saturday.
What's it called?
It's called Pat McGann's pre-taped New Year's special.
That's a great.
Well, that's
name.
Great. That's great. It's nice.
It's creative. It's
nice.
It's just up front. That's what the show is. It's a pre-taped.
And what are we doing?
Special.
An hour?
It's an hour show. It's not a countdown show.
Okay.
It's not a variety act. Like,
do you make out with Mark Giangreco at any point during the show?
No,
because that's a New Year's Eve tradition.
For some, yeah.
Giangreco is putting his tongue in somebody's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I reached out.
Yeah, but he said no.
He said he couldn't because it was a different station.
All right. Do you drop any balls?
No.
Okay. Thanks for ignoring that setup.
Balloon drop. Nothing.
It's a very hostile climate right now, so
yes.
I'm treading very lightly around.
Did you pitch this, or did they come to you?
A little bit of both. I did their Chicago one night stand up last year, so I got to be familiar with them. And then we did a project in the spring that never aired. We just kind of like did a test show, and it went well. And then I think they
probably didn't go that well.
Interested in doing well, it went well enough that they wanted to put something on air that was never going to air. The thing we taped it in like a studio that
was like a practice show.
It was a practice show.
Okay, okay. Well, you should be doing more TV. You're a handsome devil, and you're funny.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this show I'm excited about because it showcases a ton of talent that's here in the city.
Are they all doing stand-up?
No, it's no stand-up. It's all sketches and just like ridiculous stuff. Like the clip I brought is...
I love this. Most people don't bring a clip
on the show.
It's Tim Walco. Tim's got to be 109 by now.
I mean, physically.
If you listen to his stories, I mean, he's lived life.
Yeah.
He's lived a life. But no, he's
Tim
still...
did radio for a while. Tim was doing radio in Minneapolis and got fired, and I replaced him there before I came here.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He's a funny dude.
He's a very
He works
guy.
Very hard. He does a lot of cruise ships and he's a lot of corporate events.
Have you done a cruise ship?
I have not.
I never did a cruise ship either. I don't know what that's like.
I got approached. I did a show down in Orlando, and there were people there that booked the Disney cruises, and we talked afterwards. And this is just a few months ago, so we're still gonna talk. But I'm interested in that because I could like maybe bring my kids and do like a make a family trip out of it.
Oh, right.
And I heard the Disney cruises are nice, like in terms of comics that I've talked to. But you got to really be careful with the material choices and
otherwise Mickey will, throw them overboard.
The thing with cruises, I would do like one or two, but when they work you, they want you to commit to like 20 weeks.
A season.
And I'm not up for that. I'm not doing. I would do a one-off, but I'm not doing. I'm not
going to be
a cruise comic.
No, you're trapped on the boat?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I did some radio for the Disney shows and brought the kids in the Disney cruise thing while you're working. That's good. It works out.
Yeah, although people might come up to you while you're sitting in the pool and...
Right.
Why you tell him a joke? Be funny.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to be
my time.
Solo on that.
Well, you know Tim Clue.
Yeah,
yeah. Tim, it's a typical Tim Clue story, but Tim got kicked off. I think it's the only cruise he ever did. He got booked on a cruise to Iceland before it was cool. And have you done a cruise ever?
Like, no, never have.
Okay, when you get off the boat and you do these excursions, they tell you one thing: get back on time.
Oh, right.
Oh, the boat's not waiting for you. Yeah, by the way, they love when you call it a boat. 1 o'clock. If you're not back by 1 o'clock, forget about it.
Yeah.
So
the Wendella is leaving.
Tim, typically Tim, somehow gets lost. It's a driver that doesn't speak English in Iceland and gets lost coming back. The gangplank's going up and they're not letting him back on a boat.
He gets stuck.
He gets fired from the cruise. And then has to fly himself back from Reykjavik. He ends up losing, I don't know, $3,000 or something.
Oh, awful.
That's the worst.
Oh, good move. Brutal. Yeah. It's a good story, though.
Yeah, it's a good move. So consider yourself warned.
Yeah, they're strict about, I wouldn't probably even get off the boat in some of the stops.
All right, so sketch comedy all over Chicago?
All over Chicago. A lot of man on street stuff. I went back to my grade school. I interviewed kids. I went back to St. Cajetan's, where I went to grammar school. Talked to kids like about New Year's. What do they think their parents do?
That's funny.
I don't want to give too much away. I did like a Real Housewives sketch that has a Chicago flavor to it that I really like. Kristen Toomey is in that. She's so funny. Jeannie Dugan. And it's just... so many different moving parts in this Santa Claus press conference, you know, doing a recap on the holiday season.
And the Chicago DNA test is in here?
The Chicago DNA test, you know, people love being from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like, what if you could find out how Chicago you are?
Oh.
And then Dr. Tim Walko has that, and it's one of the...
Is that the
clip I brought, yeah.
All right, let's roll the clip. This is, again, from your show, which is called...
Pat McGann's Pre-Taped New Year's Special.
9 o'clock... New Year's Eve, WCIU, DVR it, and come out to Downers Grove.
Hello, I'm Dr. Timothy Walko of the Ashland Avenue Academy of Science on Cermak. Are you like me? Do you love telling people you're from Chicago? Now, you can tell people just how Chicago you are with my Chicago DNA test kit.
I'm 70% Bronzeville.
I'm 60% Bridgeport.
I'm 5% Jardinera.
It's simple. Take a Schwab. Wipe it in the inside of your mouth 2-3 times, then voila. But be forewarned, not everybody is prepared for the results.
I'm 20% Winnetka? How did that happen?
40% Englewood? Guess that explains the junk in my trunk.
Order now, and I will throw in an autographed picture of the Dan Ryan Expressway.
Chicago DNA test kit available at Walgreens, Portillo's, and the Hinsdale Oasis. Not really.
Well, that's right. And Dr. Walko.
Dr. Walko.
Oh, that's
the Ashland Avenue Academy of Science on Cermak.
And do you spit into a test tube like you do for 23andMe?
No, just
or
a little,
you just spit?
Just a little swab.
Or as they said there, a Schwab.
Little Q-tip.
Yeah. We'll come back in just a second. Andre has some questions. More with our friend Pat McGann, live in studio on CLTV and 720 WGN.
A 9-3 record. Hal Jackson throwing to the end zone.
A 7-game winning streak.
Touchdown!
The Northwestern Wildcats are headed to Nashville.
It's Wildcat versus Wildcat as Northwestern takes on Kentucky December 29th in the Music City Bowl. Our pregame starts at 2:30. The kickoff from Nashville at 3:30.
End of the year, Big Ten Bowl football is on. The home of the Northwestern Wildcats. 720 WGN.
Guys, Christmas is coming. This year, go with a win-win. Give her something that will make her feel hot and heat up your holiday with the super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy by Pajamagram. Because let's face it, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold. The Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footy pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozy in no time. You can find all Hoodie Footy styles at Pajamagram.com. Each Hoodie Footy has a drawstring hood and a full zip front. Imagine getting to open that, especially if you opt for a sweet and sexy gift set, which includes a Hoodie Footy and sexy midnight fantasy. Buy both today at Pajamagram.com and save $40. You don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. And Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Dave and I are just trying to survive in here. You got Andrea and Pat McGann, a couple of Southsiders. Hey, yeah, oh yeah, you know that, yeah, that corner right by. Hey, I went to a wake at that point. Was that the O'Donnell wake? Yeah.
No, I did. I went to a wake.
You went. Well, your mic's not on. Hold on. Say it again.
I went to a wake there last Monday.
Why can't I hear you?
Here, turn me up. Tap me up.
Where are you?
Number two.
Yeah, you're on. What's the matter with your microphone? I don't know. What? Oh, wrong mic.
There we go. Yeah.
No. Wow. First day, Steve?
My cousin
was
by the dollar store, and he goes, oh, by the funeral home. I said, oh, yeah, I was at a wake there last Monday.
Yeah. You
saw it. That's how we roll.
It's funny when...
It's a night out. Get a sitter. We got a wake.
Total Southside. And your wife, you were saying, met a guy named Marco at a party or something. And,
oh, yeah.
And the Southside came out.
It's like the work party thing, you know, talking to a dude there, Marco. Male model.
Male model, yeah. Marco.
It's like, oh, you're a male model? I'm a male comedian. My sister's a female teacher. Marco was from Europe, though, which is like, really? You're so specific a minute ago. Male model, now you're from a continent?
Right.
I'm going to start doing that. Where are you from? North America. Let me back up a minute. You familiar with Earth? It's in the Milky Way? Now, this dude has some cooking tips for me, though. He was talking about grilling out Oreos.
Uh-huh. What? Grilling out Oreos?
Yeah. He's like, you take an Oreo, put it on the grill for a minute, flip it, another minute. It's delicious. And my wife's done it. That sounds amazing. Like, does it? No, it sounds amazing because Marco from Europe said it. From the south side of Chicago. She comes home, I'm grilling out Oreos. She's like, you are white trash.
But Marco with his Italian accent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all she needed. Oh, yeah. How long have you been married now?
7 years.
7 years. This is where the trouble starts, huh?
Not that I can see. No, smooth sailing, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Never a fight.
No.
Never a disagreement.
No, especially around the holidays when things are just smooth sailing. Just hanging out, going to...
Because I
just went to a recital the other day.
Yeah?
My daughter's recital.
Right.
Ballet, which was really cool. She had a very small part. She's five. Mm-hmm. It was a Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. But I was very distracted by the fact that we were at Evergreen Park High School, and that's where the Unabomber went. So I was like, oh, man, this is so fun, this Nutcracker. But Unabomber went here, and that's all I could think about.
No matter how cute the kids were, every 30 seconds, Unabomber went here.
That's all I could think about.
You know, who could blame you? Why wouldn't I be rattling around here?
And her teacher came out and did a dance. It was like we were there for an hour, and then this woman comes out who's like in her 40s. It's like, come on, we're done. We're cashed out. Like, are you just living on your dream?
Yeah, that's it, right?
I want to take my daughter and be like, see the message here? If you stick with this, you can do this show when you're 40.
That's not what you want. No. That is not what you want.
I mean, she was full, tutu, full, like.
Is that right?
And my wife looked at me like, what is going on here? What are we doing?
Yeah, that's not good.
Let's go. Start the car.
Well, I'm glad you never fight with your wife. I've met your wife. She's lovely. She's funny.
She is. She's very funny. Yeah.
And she's a delightful woman.
Yeah. We've had an argument, Steve.
No.
Yes. Every now and then.
And what do you fight over when you fight? How wrong you are?
Yeah, usually.
Like degrees of how wrong you are?
different things. It's just fatigue induced, you know.
Right.
You know, just we argue about who loves each other more.
I think that's sweet.
Right.
You think it's true?
I think it's sweet.
In fact, it was true.
Yeah, I know.
Roll with it. Again, Pat McGann's New Year's Eve spectacular. It's Pat McGann's Wang Dang Doodle Lollapalooza Super Situation.
I can never remember the title. Yeah.
Speaking of the Wang Dang Doodle, we got to get the results before this week's over. We got picks to make tomorrow.
We're still doing this?
We got a lot to do, yeah. Sandberg, make sure we have standings on tomorrow's show, and we'll make the picks. Wait, are you here tomorrow, Dave? You're gone.
I'm not here tomorrow.
So he has to lose.
All right, you're going to have to give your pick today. Who's filling in for you the next couple of days, Pat McGann?
I could never fill in for Dave Bennett. This guy.
Come on, Pat. I'd love
John
to have you.
How about his Wang Dang Doodle partner who never got to pick?
Oh, John will do your pick. That'll be good. John will do your pick. You're cool with that, right?
No, I think.
Yeah, John's got
to
come.
I hate to burden John with that much.
Oh, yeah, no,
John will be fine. All right, so Pat McGann's pre-taped New Year's Eve spectacular.
It is. It is a Chicago flavor. Like, you know what? I respect all the shows out there, but the countdown shows. Enough.
Right.
Who cares about New Year's in New York? This show is 9 to 10, and then it's going to replay. It's just funny, and it's a lot of Chicago comedy.
Are they replaying it right at 10?
I think so, yeah. They're going to replay it on their other network. Well, they have a dynasty here in town.
Well, this is perfect because you can come out to the Tivoli. You're home in time to watch it.
Yeah. They're going
to
run it back. They're going to run it on New Year's Day, too.
They're going to put it on CNN?
I think so. Yeah. It's going to go. It's going to blow up this whole thing.
I thought so. You want to hang around for a bit?
Sure, yeah.
Somebody's bringing champagne in. You feel like having a little champagne?
Oh, some bubbly?
Yeah.
I get headaches. But yeah, I have to go to a Christmas concert at 11. I wouldn't mind going there a little buzzed up.
A recital? Or
yeah. So the school
is
one.
Is this for the kids?
Is this for the kids or for adults? For the kids.
A lot of champagne.
Yeah. Preschool and then a kindergarten show. As
oh,
well.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, let's pregame.
I'm going to borrow my travel. You can take some with.
Yeah, that's great.
Called a flat.
More with Pat McGann coming up, 927, 720 WGN. It's Mattress Firm's winter slumber sale, and it's going on now. It's perfect winter slumber time. Great time to take a nap. Oh, the nap. You know, between 2 and 5, and Pat McGann's here. Pat, you may understand this. Between 2 and 5, you could pretty much have your way with me financially or any other way. You could take my wallet. I just sit around and drool on myself for about 3 hours. I'm just punchy.
That's a good time to chill.
Between 2 and 5.
Me too.
Well, you get up super early, I'm completely useless. And this morning, I woke up at 2 a.m.
Oof, that's
2
brutal.
2 a.m. Couldn't get back to sleep.
That's brutal.
And I'm thinking, why am I awake? My job's not that important. I don't have that much stress.
What are your things, to stay up or to try and fall asleep?
I tried to fall back to sleep for, I gave it probably 20 minutes, and then I get out of bed.
What do you do to try and fall asleep?
I think of other shows. Yeah, I think of like Eric and whatever they're doing now and some of the other shows, and I just play those tapes in my head. Yeah. Yeah. I have old man.
And then are you a coffee guy once you get up?
No, I don't drink coffee.
Nothing, huh?
No, well, I drink a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Caffeine-laced Diet Coke. But no, I was wide awake.
Oh, man.
Painted the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That afternoon, though, I hear you. Like, I'll be up early with the kids and then do the stuff, you know, get through the day. And then a lot of times I'll work at night. So if I have a little bit of downtime in that, I'm not scared to take a nap or doze off. Naps are great. That should be more part of our culture, right?
Yeah.
Human beings need sleep. We need naps. We need siestas.
The Spaniards are the only one to do this, please.
Unless you wake up at 4 in the afternoon and think it's 4 in the morning. That's the worst feeling ever.
Oh, I did that yesterday.
We laugh at each other when we sleep, right? You make fun of people if they sleep too long. We're upside down on that. Sleep is great.
You should celebrate it.
How many of us sleep too long on this show?
None of us.
Right? I mean, we're all sleep deprived.
I average 45 minutes a night. That's generally what I average, which is why I look so fresh.
You look fresh today.
You do look fresh.
You do. You look resting, man.
Yeah. 2 a.m.
You should sleep 90 minutes every night.
I should get up at 2 a.m.
You're glowing.
So, tickets to the Tivoli and New Year's Eve at eventbrite.com. Search Steve Cochran. Tickets for Pat McGann aren't needed. You just need a TV and a DVR.
Mm-hmm. I did a New Year's show with you guys. It's so fun.
You'll be invited again.
Yeah, I'll do it again down the road. That show is great. Tivoli's beautiful theater.
Yeah,
it is good.
A little secret there. Is it Downers Grove?
Yeah, in Downers, yeah.
Yeah.
Great old movie theater. And we're going to fill that sucker up. Now, Pat's price has gone way up.
Oh, yeah.
Way up. Because, you did a couple of Lettermans. You did a Colbert. You can't get Pat to do a show now for less than $100,000. I mean, that's walking in money.
Right.
For show.
It is.
It's like Gaga, $1 million a show.
He is.
In
He's
Vegas.
The Lady Gaga of stand up comedy. That's exactly right. What do you got?
Hey, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. All you have to do is visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com.
Did I talk about Mattress Firm yet? I didn't, did I? I got to do that. It's Mattress Firm's winter slumber sale, and it's going on now. Get your free box spring when you pick out your perfect mattress. Store wide, savings start at just $199 for a mattress. If you have a big old stocking, be a perfect stocking stuffer. But you'd have to have a big stocking. We're talking about a mattress. Yeah. Listen, I'll try not to make any more mistakes as I go through this and tell you that the year-end closeout is here to help you bring in 2018 in style, where you can save up to 70% on your favorite name-brand floor samples, including Beautyrest and Serta and Hampton and Rhodes and so much more. You can get your sheets, your pillows, you can get everything. I believe the Mattress Firm employee will go home and sing you a lullaby.
Be great.
That's how full service they are. And this weekend, Friday to Sunday only, get free delivery, setup, and removal with any mattress purchase. That's this Friday through Sunday. And you can get an adjustable base like the one Dave has or the one I have. Those are good times.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Mary has it too.
Sandberg has it too.
Man, she's just
you can
behind
hear her,
the glass.
You can hear her from her aquarium.
I have it too.
Well, that's how you feel when you have the movable base.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It just gives you that energy.
We're excited. You wouldn't know about it because you don't go to the adjustable base meetings that we have.
It seemed like just
excited.
A minute ago we were talking about how you guys don't get any sleep. And now you're like, oh, man,
no, but it's quality sleep, Pat. It's very quality sleep.
90 minutes like you wouldn't believe. More with Pat McGann coming up.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My friend Pat McGann is the guest DJ. We don't have a lot of guest DJs on the talk shows, but hanging out with us. Don't forget his New Year's Eve show, 9 o'clock, WCIU. And perfect New Year's Eve, of course, is champagne. It's a must. And we have Parag Lalit here, a sommelier at 16 in town. 16 does not have a drive-thru, Pat. That's how you can tell it's a fancy place.
And, do they have a 4 a.m. license?
Yes. Parag, nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me in.
Thanks for being here. Before we talk about champagne, tell me about you. When did you become a sommelier?
Well, come from a very non-wine drinking background. I was born in India. I was about to turn 16 when I decided to go to France. Did some pastry, lived there for roughly 9 years. During my stay in France, I traveled to Vietnam. From Vietnam, came back to France, worked in Cannes for
Wait a minute. You're laundering money. You're not actually in the wine business. You're traveling a lot.
So I went back to France, from France to Canada again, this time to Canada, to Montreal, where I spent another 8 years. That's where the click actually happened. I was very fortunate to work with some of the most key individuals in Canada, one of the best sommeliers in Canada, Elise Lambert, who was Canada's best sommelier back then.
And it takes a tremendous amount of training, right?
A lot of training, a lot of tasting. You can't become a good taster unless you've tasted a lot of champagne, a lot of wine. So
is that,
it's one
is
of the perks of the job.
Is that something you're born with? I mean, you can't teach somebody to taste, can you?
Well, if a lot of snobs will tell you that. That is so not true. As in all trades, you start doing something, you do it more and more, you get the hang of the tricks of the trade, and you can actually train your palate, and your brain develops sort of an olfactive memory. And even if you haven't tasted something in a couple of months, you know how to register, how to understand. And you don't need glasses and glasses to understand. Actually, nose works better than the palate to understand the wine. But but just a couple of sips should actually take you in understanding the wine fairly well.
I like how everything kind of goes out the window now. It used to be the whites were good with the fish and the chicken, but I had a nice piece of fish the other night, and they suggested almost like a Malbec, like a richer red.
Look at the drop in the Malbec here.
Right?
Look at this.
Which I found so interesting.
Excellent.
It blended so nicely. But do you kind of see that now moving on through the years?
You know, Andrea, if you get close enough to Andrea, she smells terrific. There's a hint of oak and just a bit of Starburst.
Well, I have to say, I mean, as people are more and more educated, they definitely want to go outside of their comfort zone. And there's nothing wrong with trying a Malbec or a Cabernet Sauvignon with a fish if it works for you. I think more than anything, wine is meant to give you pleasure. And be it champagne, be it a big wine, be it a light wine, be it a Pinot Noir, that is meant to go with pretty much everything. It's supposed to sort of speak to you, and it's personal. But that leads me to trying my next fish course with a Malbec. I'll try that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You talked about, and I
think
this.
He just made fun of you.
I know, I think so. It's okay though, Pat.
It's like,
I'm so sorry. It's okay.
He's like, all right, maybe I'll try that fish with Malbec. Sure.
You talked about.
Sure. Did you hear I was in Canada and Paris and
yeah,
India?
Laundry
I'm like,
money.
Yeah, we had a similar upbringing. Yeah, my neighbors had a cottage in New Buffalo. We used to go to Tabor Hill on Route 12.
I would think because you've traveled the world, you have a very important, well-rounded experience that you bring to this job. So whoever comes into 16, and again, tourists from all over the world come into 16, you probably have an ability to relate that maybe others might not.
I think it's very important. I think the cultural element, the cultural aspect, and the understanding of how people are excited by small details is very, very important. Having lived in Vietnam, obviously I couldn't come with descriptors that I use in the US or in Canada or in France. I had to sort of resort to what I could actually use for the local clientele. So I took Vietnamese lessons for 3 months. I was terrible at it, but I mean, knew enough to sort of use herbs and spices and plants to kind of relate to the wine. And that really meant a lot to the Vietnamese people. And
speak enough so you at least have respect for the culture.
I spoke enough to actually I could get in trouble easily.
Okay, but
that was obviously
good.
A problem.
Good. All right. So, Pat, you've dabbled in wine.
Dabbled.
I assume something more than Mad Dog 2020.
I enjoy red wine. My wife kind of opened my eyes to red wine. I like, you know, I'm a Cabernet guy.
Behind every great man is a great woman.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, that's the name of a vineyard.
That was a bad joke.
Behind every great man is a great woman.
Yeah. What sort of red deal? Or do you have a question about a red?
I like the Cabernet. I like. I've gotten into blends too recently. What would be a question for wine? You know, I've heard that the price point, if you're at the store and you see a wine for $10.99 versus up to $25.99, like what's the difference between a $11 bottle of wine and a $25 bottle of wine? And then at what point does it make? Is there a difference in there for what you're spending your money on?
But I find $10 may miracles do happen. At $10, you may be able to get a decent bottle of wine
at a 7-Eleven.
I try to, you know, I try to go to specialty stores because they only do that. I think that is very important. If you go to Binny's, I'm pretty sure at $15, they would be able to give you a very solid bottle of wine. And at 7-Eleven, where more entry sort of level wines are highly marked, I would consider it not to be the best place to spend the money. But if you can go to a wine shop, Perman Wine Selections is another great place to stop.
Where's that at?
Perman Wine Selection, I think it's in the Westley, but I could be wrong, because I know they moved. But Craig Perman, who's the guy who curates their selection, who's also the owner, carries everything from $15, $20 all the way to the higher end. But $10 may be challenging to get you the stuff you want, but adding an extra $5 can really expand your world and give you a taste of something really unique.
That's pretty amazing. For $15, bucks, you can get
there's good wine out there. Yeah, for
fantastic wine, $15. You can actually get world-class wine, $15. And I think it's an amazing thing to have, because when you look at all the work that goes into producing a bottle of wine, that it's at least 12 months, all the costs that are involved in bottling the wine and then shipping it to a foreign country, then getting it to a restaurant and still getting that value, it's pretty incredible this day.
Before we talk about what's going on at 16 for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's as well, and before Andrea gets in here, I just wanted Andrea and Pat to know that Dave has not brought up any questions yet, and he is clearly the heaviest drinker on the show.
No, I don't know. I'm not throwing out Malbec here like Andrea.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the first glass I've had in months.
That's so Chicago. But,
although I do
there.
Like Malbec.
I'm not throwing
that's so Chicago.
Malbec.
Look how fancy you are saying Malbec, huh?
I have to say Malbec.
Shiraz?
Shiraz.
All right, let me ask you about when the bottle is brought to the table, because for years, I thought you're supposed to sip the wine, but you're not supposed to sip the wine, right? You're supposed to examine it for color, stick your nose in the glass, get a sense of the smell.
Absolutely.
But you don't sip it.
Well, you said it. You mean you do a visual examination of the wine to see if it's not too old for a young vintage. Color can actually give you a lot of idea how the wine has been aged, if it has been properly stored. Its appearance and how thick, how viscous the wine is can actually take you to a specific place in the world. Cold climates tend to somewhat stick less to the glass. Richer, warmer climates such as Malbecs would actually stain the glass much more because the grape has a lot of color. But once you've done that, you start examining the nose of the wine to see if it's fit. Once that has been done, you start decorticating the complexities and you try to relate them on the palate once you take a sip.
Do you have? Do you do the?
Do you
same
have a hard time
for...
seeing the color, Andrea, through the brown paper bag?
That's Dave. That would be Annette. Come on, I sit mine in a nice wine glass.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I think this is important for people to know because people get intimidated by the process. You're the professional. And if you bring a bottle over, I would assume you're fine with someone not going through the process if Absolutely. They're bothered by it. You'd rather have them admit that, I would assume.
Well, it's some people, I mean, obviously, you get both the camps. Some people are really intimidated in how to go about the specific wine, but sometimes they would actually ask you, and that makes everything so much easier for us.
Yeah.
When they would act, it's easy to offend people as well, but sometimes people would just very politely ask you, and then you're the happiest man on earth. How do you go about it? And when that happens... sky's the limit.
Do you taste champagne the same way, though?
Oh,
do
don't get into champagne it? Quite yet. Hold on. Barag Lalitas here.
Okay.
Dave, you gargle with it, right, when they bring the bottle over to the table?
That's not the way to do it. Oh. But I did have a question. The ratings, like Wine Spectator, they put ratings on it. How much stock should we put into those?
Are they bought? Are the reviews purchased and paid for?
I pay attention to those at Binnie's.
The thing is, you have to understand not everyone is a sommelier, and we all need a reference point somewhere, and they definitely bring some expertise to the table. I personally do not resort to wine journals. Wine Spectator is definitely one of the leaders. There's Decanter. There is many more. It's important to go with your personality. I think it's very important. It's easy to be impressed by a fancy piece of paper which advertises a bottle of wine or an etiquette or a label. So I think as a sommelier, it's all the fun part of the job is also that you should be able to taste and analyze for yourself if it works for your program, as opposed to buying a bottle of wine because Mr. XYZ said so. It does happen still because brands, the whole part of the brand is such, they're very powerful, so they manage to be on the wine list. But I think as a sommelier, the most exciting part is to be in control of the content that you want to put in there. So almost everything is tasted, and we definitely analyze if it makes sense with the food that is coming out, because it's not a wine bar, it's a restaurant. We have to make sure that the wine kind of stands up to what is being served.
What about Ditka, though? Ditka's wine. That just means it means it's better, right? If Ditka's face is on
it? Yeah, if Ditka's face is on it, yes.
Because sometimes you see that at Binnie's, it'll be like Ditka wine, or they'll say like Cubs World Champs wine. Right. Like, right. What the hell? Yeah, who's buying this garbage?
Definitely shell. Yes.
Yes. Like,
we're talking with Parag Lalit, sommelier at 16, and we'll come back to tell you what's going on Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and give you some information on that and talk champagne in just a moment. I'm Steve Cochran, and you know who you are, and we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Back in a moment.
Is your special someone always cold and sleeps? What's the matter over there? In socks and a sweater? Give her a gift that's guaranteed to get her to peel off those layers.
I don't know.
This is coming.
You don't know. You have no confidence in me. You think I'm going to jump all over.
The new Mink Chocolate
Pajamagram
Hoodie
commercial.
Footy Hello. By Pajamagram. An easy way to heat things up this holiday.
The Pajamagrams are great.
They right? are great.
The Pajamagram pajamas are great. I ordered some for Pat right after he got here. They haven't arrived yet, but we're hoping they will.
Yeah.
It combines the warmth of a comforter with the coziness of footy pajamas.
Right. The footy pajamas are great, Pat.
I love footies. My kids are in this footy season now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's footy season.
Would you like to read this?
Sure. Yeah. I love reading stuff like this.
All right, go ahead.
She'll be feeling warm in no time.
When he reads it, I know where his head is at.
Yeah. Remember the shark SNL sketch? Like,
yeah.
He's like,
oh, yeah.
I want to read it like that. Pajamagram.
How do I get a Pajamagram?
I'm a dolphin. Pajamagram's newest hoodie footy has chocolate brown marshmallow fleece zip-off feet a drawstring hood.
Yeah.
It's super comfortable. And it's cute. Sporty appeal, too.
Right.
Plus, that full-length zipper comes in pretty handy when things really start to heat up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's getting dirty. Like all world-famous hoodie footies, the Mink hoodie footy. Oh, we got something for the... Listen up, 16 sommelier. We got Mink hoodie footies, too, for the people at 16.
I believe he prefers Parag or Mr. Lalit.
Okay, sorry. I'm just saying. Mink hoodie footie seems upscale.
All right,
available only at pajamagram.com.
Yeah, what do I do?
Make it a hoodie footie holiday, and she'll be happy from head to toe. You don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them you heard it on WGN Radio.
That was great. 16 Chicago Christmas.com is the website. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, a six-course dinner. Six-course dinner.
I know. Awesome.
And New Year's Eve dinner, two seatings at 5 and at 9, and then a special brunch that you need to know about as well. You can see the Chicago fireworks display from your table.
Mm-hmm.
And the New Year's Day brunch available from 10:30 to 2:30 as well. Get information on all of these at 16chicago.com. We've got to talk champagne. Your advice on champagne and champagne selection.
Well, very special time, obviously, to pop a good bottle of wine. Champagne is, I have a feeling, in many countries, is only symbolic of special days in life. But I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's still a wine. It definitely is bubbly, but it's a wine like others. Incredible champagnes to pop at this time of the year. Combination of brands such as Krug that pack in a lot of power. Not inexpensive, but really, really will take your teleport to the vineyard of Champagne. Powerful wines that will, you know, stand up to the whole meal. When you talk about complexities, you will get bruised apple, bruised pear, ton of orchard fruit, but then also French pastries such as nougat, meringue, tarte tatin, tarte au citron.
Nougat, not nougat, Pat.
Nougat is entirely different. Not like Three Musketeers.
Champagne has to come from the Champagne region.
Absolutely.
Of France. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, it's sparkling wine.
Still, in this day and age, we have this confusion, unfortunately. Champagne can only come from the area of Champagne, that is roughly 150 kilometers northeast of Paris. That's the only place in the world that can produce the brand Champagne. Why is it special? It's special because of a bunch of different elements. You have a very distinct set of topographics, soil that is composed of chalk, two distinct varieties of chalk, belemnite and microaster chalk, extinct sea urchins and cephalopods that really make for the soil there. They have an incredible capacity to retain moisture, which explains how Champagne has hundreds of kilometers of underground carved cellars where they perfectly ate champagne.
Do you like Dom Perignon?
Among others.
How about Cristal? Is Cristal your favorite?
You.
Say that again.
Cristal would be one of your favorites?
It's a solid champagne, yes.
Okay. All right, so can you have different kinds of champagne throughout the entire meal, or do you have to stay
you
with
one? You mean like a champagne
kind?
Slurpee?
You'll have one for maybe the appetizer and one for the main
Nothing wrong with
meal.
That. I mean, a lot of people tend to indulge in flights of champagne. You can start with something really acidic and powerful, so it whets the appetite, makes you salivate, gets you ready for the meal. Then you want something a little rich and powerful, a little chunky, that can stand up to rustic dishes, that has a little bit of warmth, much like the food that is showcased at this time of the year, and something probably a little off-dry in the end to sort of pair with the desserts.
And then something to pour on the ladies.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, well,
depends on how your evening ends.
Does that drive you nuts when you see champagne wasted like that, spilled and sprayed?
I can drink it for you.
I can drink it for celebrations, right?
Yeah, right.
Parag Lalit, sommelier at 16401 North Wabash, 16th floor. Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Day, and all year long. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the education.
Thank you for having me in.
All right. Thanks for being here. Let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll do two more blatant plugs. One for Pat, one for me before we go. And it's Bill and, or is it Pete today?
It's Pete today.
Pete and Jane, I think.
Pete McMurray and Jane Manzoras. We'll be on in just a second. Stand by for your blatant plug. Give the gift of a great night's sleep. That's right. It's your last chance to buy everybody on your holiday list a MyPillow. Order right now. Get your MyPillow in time for Christmas. Go great with your pajamagram. They're often their signature for. You know, it's every commercial on the show today is about sleep. Mattress Firm, pajamagram, and MyPillow.
All of which we lack.
Oh, we're trying to keep people.
Somehow it's not the same. MyPillow is extending their money-back guarantee through March 1st. MyPillow is guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. With a patented interlocking fill, it conforms to your preferred sleeping position. Call them up at 800-299-9579. You got one more?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't ready.
MyPillow will donate $5 to the Salvation Army to help change the lives of those in need. Give back with giving the gift of a great night's sleep. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WGN.
Life. News. Thought. Opinion. Learning.
Learning. Let's learn more together on 720 WGN.
It's a big Pat McGann New Year's Eve. Where and when?
The U. 9 p.m. Pat McGann's pre-taped New Year's special. Going to replay it out later that night and also on New Year's Day. Check it out.
That's a great Christmas gift. But there's another one you can get. It's called the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight. Live at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, 7 o'clock New Year's Eve. You'll get home in plenty of time to watch what you DVR'd.
Live stand-up is the best.
Eventbrite.com. Eventbrite.com. Search Steve Cochran. Get
your tickets. Who else you got there that night?
Great Christmas gift.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of this kid from Channel 9, Mike Toomey.
Oh, nice.
He's new. He's one of the best stand-ups ever. I know you're a
great. Truly great. Yeah, that'd be a fun
John
show.
DeCoss, yeah. Tim Benker, mm-hmm. and a couple of surprises, including stand-up comedy from Bigfoot.
Nice. Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be
no
a good night.
No one saw that coming.
Well, thanks for having me, man.
Good to see you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Welcome here anytime. And Pete, and is this your first day? Sit down.
I didn't know if you had to go into a commercial.
No, we're done, man.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, but Steve would like to do the news, and yes. I just wanted to say hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Hey, you all right? You good?
Yeah.
What are
great.
You and Jane doing today?
We have Jeff Rosten from the Today Show.
Okay, good. And is he trying to scan you for germs?
He did a story yesterday on Amazon packages. You know, they can let themselves into your house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a glitch in the system.
Couldn't you see that coming?
Yeah.
Did you let someone else into your house? That's
yes.
crazy.
It's not the best idea, that's
right.
for sure.
Good to see you, man. We
all
never
right.
see each other.
Good talk.
I love you.
Yeah, and you're working for me next week?
I am.
All right,
next week.
Love you back. Here's Pete.
Pat McGann on next Wednesday.
All right.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Learn something new.
Ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes.
On 720 WGN.